Hey, can I just
Hey,
make one point?
you can make
So
two if you want.
I wasn't here last week. You guys had a hell of a show, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm back, and we are having, well, I'm not having, but two of the other wizards who are not here with us at this moment are having some sort of audio technical difficulties. They're popping in and out in the waiting area, but nobody's able to come in yet. As a matter of fact, right now, Kevin has no devices
No device.
connected. How are you even in if you have no devices connected? I don't even understand what's going on here.
It's all mixed up, man. It's all mixed up.
It really is. It really is. So I'm just trying to think. It was a busy week for wrestling this past week, I think it was,
Oh,
maybe.
sure.
I don't even know, man.
Why not?
It's like
Why?
it's all a blur. Like I was supposed to have off today, but I got like stuck doing business things, so I really didn't get to enjoy my day off. But from what I understand, you didn't even have a day off.
No, man, I'm still in the office. So in our building, my office, the only one that was open.
Really?
Everybody else was gone. Yep.
Now, without getting political, is it because you guys don't believe in Christopher Columbus?
So there's a big sign on the outside of the building. Doesn't even acknowledge Columbus. It's Indigenous
Oh.
Peoples Day in Minnesota.
Yeah, and it's kind of that here too. And if it wasn't for the fact that New York City still has their Columbus Day parade, you wouldn't think anything of it either, which, you know.
Right.
Another reason the Italians are being discriminated against, God damn it.
Oh, is Columbus an Italian name?
You think?
I don't think so.
Colombo? Yeah, that's an Italian name, though.
Nah, I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
Well, whatever. We're wrong about a lot of things on this show, but it doesn't stop us from bringing you entertainment every Monday night. I guess we can open with we've got a hell of a show for everybody.
Yeah, we might even have more wizards show up.
Yeah, we're supposed to go to Wizards Court tonight on the docket, from what I understand. It is Bret Hart versus WWE and the Montreal Screwjob.
That is what I understand, yeah.
Well, I'm sure Bailiff Kevin, if he ever decides to get his devices connected, could tell us. But I'm not picking on Kevin because Matt is nowhere to be found and he's
Nah.
having issues too, so.
He gone. What I want to know, Tony, before we jump in, before oh, Matt looks is coming back in here.
Matt's devices seem to be connected, people.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, hey, Ree.
Hi, Rhiannon.
Everyone says hello.
Is your microphone working?
Yeah, it sounds
Is
like
it?
Yeah,
Hello?
tap it. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
right.
Hey, Matty.
Still have the stupid echo
I
in
didn't realize
my
you had four
headphones.
cats in the apartment.
I have three cats.
Well, your fourth cat's like petting your face.
That's what I
Whoa.
No, don't throw chop me. Come on, man.
Yeah, chop
We're
him.
live. Don't chop, please.
Chop the shit out of him.
Gnaw his balls.
Don't
Rip the
gnaw my
tits off the
balls.
bitch.
Don't rip the tits off of me.
Yeah, that's not
Holy
very good.
Jesus Christ. What a fucking aggravating situation this is.
What, the Shining Wizards?
No, this fucking shit. I don't know why I can hear myself in my headphones. It's fucking gonna drive me nuts all show.
Wait, why you can?
I'm hearing an echo.
Oh, but we always hear. I always hear myself in my headphones. You should hear yourself.
I'm hearing
At
a
least I
delay.
do.
I hear a delay.
Oh.
It's
Oh,
driving
yeah,
me
you're
nuts.
fucked. You're gonna be fucking miserable this show. Can
What happened to
you?
Kevin?
I don't know. He had device connection issues as far as we could tell.
Cool.
What the hell was I gonna say? Yeah, you should probably check. Fuck, now I fucked up. Whatever.
Don't worry about it.
Check it while we're doing the intro. All that next coming up live here on the Shining Wizards episode 658.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
You are watching The Shining Wizard. Wrestling podcast. Mwah!
You are tuned in live to episode 658 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Tech issues ain't stopping us tonight because we're live on the social medias and going with you wherever you go on the streaming and podcasting platforms all around this great nation and all around the world. We're going to keep on keeping on. We got Wizards Court tonight. Let's just jump right into some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
And some Kevin.
Fellas. We're here. We made it.
We did. We might have another
one.
Kevin might be coming in. I don't know.
I'm going to fucking break something tonight.
Ooh.
I wish you wouldn't. Here last week. I was looking forward to having a good time.
No, I don't know why I'm having this issue. It's fucking driving me nuts, man.
Arr.
Sexy when you talk angry.
It's it's very frustrating the amount of time and effort we put into the show for this to be an issue.
No, and I get it. Like, we've upped our game a lot lately. We've got, you know, all kinds of new ideas we brought to the show. We've got, you know, all kinds of, like, you know, new intros and doing the videos and, like, adding a lot of stuff. And it's really unfortunate when this shit happens, especially right before showtime, because there's no reason when we come back on Mondays that any of this stuff should be messed up. It should be right where we left it. But of course, when the cleaning crew comes in, we don't know what they're messing with.
I should have just left it alone. So let me ask you, when you go into settings on StreamYard, right? I gotta know, because this is fucking driving me mad right now.
Okay, I'm in StreamYard. What you got?
Your settings.
Yes, I'm looking at them right now.
What's your audio for your mic?
My audio is, actually it says default. You know what? I hope people heard the audio because it says default microphone. I don't know if they heard the audio on the intro.
Someone would have said something, I assume.
You would think, because there's enough people in the chat right now, but I didn't see anything. But mine says default external microphone, but it should say loopback audio 4.
Okay, so mine says loopback audio. All right,
so you
audio.
See now, now I just switched mine.
All right.
And that's what it should be. So I'm wondering, we probably didn't get any audio on that intro. I have no idea.
What are you here? What's your?
Oh. Ryan Sullivan says we hear.
Okay.
What's your speaker set to?
Speaker. My speaker is default external headphones built in.
Okay, so that's where I'm at.
It could be. You could just put external headphones built in as well. You know what I'm saying?
I don't have that option.
Oh. That's weird.
So I have headphones built in default.
Do you have like the echo cancellation and any of that shit?
Yeah.
See, I don't have any of that clicked. The only thing I have clicked is automatically adjust mic volume. Got right. Nothing else clicked.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Hey, Ryan Sullivan, since you're in the chat, did you hear the intro with like, you know, where to listen and all that good stuff? Just want to make sure.
Bananas.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, we hear you.
No, I think better? I think I got rid of it in my brain.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone for me too. So whatever you did, perf. Fucking nailed it, man.
What'd you change?
Turned off the echo cancellation and the reduced microphone background noise, and I left automatically adjust mic volume on.
Okay, and that worked.
All right.
I don't have. Oh God.
Hell yeah!
I couldn't do this for fucking 2 hours hearing the delay in my brain. I would have fucking destroyed something.
Okay, so I think everybody heard the hell yeah, right? So we're good. Everything's good.
Yeah. Oh God damn! How you guys doing?
Doing okay, I guess.
Yeah, we missed you last week, T-Donk.
I missed you guys. You guys put on a hell of a show. I was starting to wonder if I should even bother coming back.
Tony, I mean, I know we got stuff to get to and all that, but there's one thing that's really just, I want to know. And
we're opening with this.
I'm fucking, like, after hearing about it, texting with you, I can't wait to know. AEW, Fight Forever.
Oh God, we're opening with this.
I mean, look, we got my review. We got Handsome Kevin's review. 2.5 weeks ago, you purchased it, and you weren't on the show last week. So I feel like it's only right that we get your gameplay experience.
There is a lot to be angry about. A lot to be angry about. I thought, from what Matt said and what Matt brought to the show, he pretty much told everyone, you don't have to do X, Y, and Z if you don't want to. If you want to just pick up a controller and play, you can pick up a controller and play. One thing I liked about WWF's games and WCW, well, not so much the WCW, but the WWF games, they had a bit of a story, but all you would do is just watch like these like little moments in the ring where somebody would be talking and they'd give you a line of dialogue and then they say, you know, like, for this match, you have to win. Or for this match, you have to win in under 3 minutes. Or for this match, you know, no matter what happens, you have to win by disqualification. Or you have to lose this match. Like, so it gave you an objective to do. You went out and did it. So it was kind of cool, at least to give you a heads up, right? All right, so let's start from the beginning. I played the opening match of storyline mode. I picked CM Punk because why not?
I picked CM Punk. Of course, good old Phil.
Yes. Now, I was playing the battle, the Casino Chip Battle Royal, whatever the fuck they call it?
Yeah, the Casino Battle Royal.
Okay, so I picked the Two of Hearts. I don't know why, but that meant I had to start the match, and John Moxley was in there too, and a bunch of other assholes were in there, and I fucking ran the table. I won the match. I had like 15 or 14 eliminations, so I was like, all right, you know what? This is kind of fun. I'm eliminating motherfuckers. It was kind of cool, right? I decided, I said, I had enough. I want to stop. I want to save it. I thought I saved it. Came back to the game a couple days later. I got to fucking go through the Battle Royal again. I said, fuck this. I got the Battle Royal was starting, and I quit the game. Well, when you quit the game in the middle of the Battle Royal, now you fucking lose the Battle Royal. So not only did I win the thing, I don't have to go back again because now I was eliminated. Now completely different storyline, right? All right, fine, whatever. I was aggravated, but I wasn't at the point that I was ready to throw the fucking thing against the wall.
So, hold on. All right. I'm sorry, dude.
No, keep going. You need to know the whole story.
I understand.
I know it's long, but you need to know the experience.
This first piece of the story?
Yeah.
Sounds like user error.
All right, it'll get better. I'm going to try to make it as succinct as possible. They stuck me in a team with John Moxley. I didn't want to be in a team with John Moxley. We fucking lost to Scorpio Sky and I want to say Sammy Guevara, maybe? I kicked the shit out of Scorpio Sky for like 8 minutes. I had him beat. This motherfucker keeps coming in to break up the pin, and now I get punched in the face twice, and my fucking health meter is completely shot. What the fuck? I'm like, why am I kicking somebody's ass for 8 minutes, and then all of a sudden, now I'm getting eliminated? And we fucking lost, and they still fucking pair me up with this asshole, and for some unknown reason, we got a fucking match against best friends. We win that match, and we won the fucking tag belts. Nobody told me they were tag champs. Nobody told me it was a title match. I fucking lost two matches, and I'm getting a title shot. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I just want to fucking wrestle singles matches. I don't want to wrestle as a fucking tag team. But nope, here I am. Every fucking week is a tag team. I got to work out to get my fucking battery up. I don't know what the fuck that is. I took pictures with fucking Moxley at the Liberty Bell.
Nice.
I took pictures with somebody. Oh, and we had to wrestle fucking Big Show, Who the fuck did they team Big Show with? I don't even remember. And they're like, oh, this is a legendary team facing a team of guys that have never been together. I'm like, these motherfuckers never teamed up before. Here's another thing. Why do I have to choose about being a vegan? I don't give a fuck if I'm a vegan. I really don't care. Why is the waitress that served me in Jacksonville the same waitress that served me in D.C.? What, yeah, is she on the fucking plane with me? Fucking Phil Brooks, his entire career, he's straight edge. Every fucking meal he had, there's a bottle of wine on the table with him. They're giving me pictures of avocado toast. I don't give a fuck. Let me wrestle a fucking singles match. Let me control my destiny. What is going on with this game? Oh, and on top of that, I had a singles match against Scorpio Sky later on, finally. And the fucking game starts chanting Colt Cabana in the middle of the match. I fucking did one of those mini games where the fucking bombs, you were on the outside of the ring, you had to throw bombs in the ring. I lost that shit. The Young Bucks called me a fucking loser and they told me to get lost. And sounds then you're in the right gym. There's nothing to do in the gym. He goes, you got to flex at the top and work your way down. Oh, boy, what a great workout. What do I give a fuck? It's not even like you can hit the buttons and fucking build muscle. It's fucking worthless. I'm this close to fucking returning it. I can still return this fucking game because I bought a physical copy of it. I didn't want them digital jobs either. I wanted to like this game, dude. I went into this game with an open mind, but it's fucking, it's maddening. It's maddening.
So you don't like the storyline?
It's fucking ridiculous. And on top of that, I tried playing the Stadium Stampede. Oh, bro, some of these people built characters that like level fucking 50 or whatever the high fucking character is. And I'm running around. I'm trying to open shit. I think I hit one person in the head with a baseball bat. And then I had my shit fucked up and I was eliminated in like 2 minutes. What the fuck?
I haven't.
If I want to play Fortnite, I'll play Fortnite. It's a million times more fun than his Stadium Stampede shit.
How is did you enjoy the gameplay, though? Was it easy to do moves?
You know what? For the most part, it is. I'm still getting a feel for it. It's just aggravating that my character is stuck in these nonsensical situations. Dude, we won the tag belts. I had no idea the best friends were the champs because when you log in, it tells you who your champs are. Like Thunder Rosa's a champ. Fucking MJF's a champ. The tag champs were the Young Bucks. Why were the best friends the tag champs? Like, no, seriously, I don't get it. Normally, when they had the champions listed, that would be whoever progressed in the storyline, who they would insert you with. It's just all over the place, dude. I think I got a picture with Sammy Guevara in front of some fucking mural somewhere. Like, I don't know. I fucking screen capped everything. I'm wondering if I can pull this shit up from fucking PlayStation. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
Dude, right. And I told you, I bought the game because I wanted to like the game. Everybody was touting, like, what a fucking throwback it was. And it probably is, but my experience with it has been just off the wall fucking insane, dude.
Storyline mode is a little bit all over the place, yes.
It really is.
But the gameplay,
I don't know what else to say. I never want, like, I've lost some fucking bad matches in Fortnite. I never felt like I wanted to throw the controller. I was ready to start chucking shit out the fucking window playing this fucking game, dude. I don't understand how you could beat somebody up for 3 minutes, hit him with the fucking go to sleep, and the asshole kicks out at 2, and then he's kicking the shit out of you. Like, I don't understand that.
It's not a good game, man. It isn't. Now, I've played it. I put in a lot of time in that game. Can you find any positive reason at all for the going out to eat, taking pictures, vegan, non-vegan? Is there any, like, 'cause now you've had the experience, now you've played the game. Is there anything that tells you that is needed, or they should have spent time like programming that into the game?
Well, you see, you need it because you have to build up your battery and your fucking heart rate or whatever that is. Like, there's shit that you need that for. But, like, every fucking city, it's like, buy a t-shirt in this city. I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't know what I need this money for, but I better hold on to it because I hope something fucking important comes along or I need to buy something that I'm actually going to need.
Your PWI ranking.
Or maybe some stars from Dave Meltzer.
Exactly.
Like, I don't get it. Like, this is probably why, like, I didn't like Madden after a while, because they added a lot of that shit to Madden where it's like you have to fucking learn how to run faster and you got to, like, lift weights to make your guy stronger. Like, I don't give a shit, man. I want to pick up and play. Give me a storyline where I could be into the story where I'm not fucking chowing down on alligator bites and the fucking same waitress hops the flight with me and she's like, yeah, I got fired, so now I got a job in D.C. Fancy meeting you here. And, dude, you put a fucking bottle of wine on the table and you don't see them eating, right? So, like, oh, shit, I wish. Oh, this is all you see, right? Like, you see, oh, boy, this is delicious. And that's all you get. You get the back of their fucking head. I think, I got a picture with Nyla Rose somewhere, too. So it's like Nyla Rose, John Moxley, and I think fucking Sammy Guevara. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, man. Are you going to finish out this story?
I don't know how much further I have to go. I think I'm at part 2B, whatever that is.
I think you go till Double or Nothing.
And what is that, like part 5? Please let it be part 5.
I think it's like part 4. I think it's you do each pay-per-view. Like every, like you started at the Casino Battle Royal, then I think you went to All In, and then it's to Rev, what's the, whatever the one.
Full Gear.
Oh, somebody challenged me to a match on Dark. Maybe it was Sammy Guevara. Oh, that's another thing. I'm waiting to get my luggage at the airport, and John Moxley's making fun of me. Why are you waiting for your luggage, dude? I'm like, what do you fucking care, dude?
He stole it. He stole your luggage.
Did he really? When does that come up in the story?
It comes up the next thing after you.
I just don't care. I don't fucking care.
Wow.
Yep.
I don't. Just give me a story where it's like, okay, you wrestled fucking so-and-so. Do you want to be his partner? Do you want to fuck him up? I want to fuck him up. Okay, so now you feud with that guy.
Don't worry, Tony. That won't matter. That won't matter.
And you now we're the tag champs, and I fucking walked out on Moxley, and then he's like, hey, no hard feelings. I'm like, I don't know. What the fuck? but the stupid shit, like the fucking chanting Colt Cabana, it's like, that's just a fucking, like, if you don't want him in the game, take him out of the fucking game.
I mean, I think it's kind of funny, the irony of it.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's fucking stupid at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Look, I haven't. So the cat threw up on my on my
fucking
remote,
segue
on the remote. No, the cat threw up on the remote to the TV. So up until last week, I didn't have a way to switch sources until I brought a universal remote, and I just haven't dove back in the AEW Fight Forever in probably a month and a half because I've been so busy, and because the cat threw up on the remote and I couldn't switch the source.
What do you have? You have PlayStation?
PS4, yeah.
Now, can we play each other?
I don't think so.
See, what? Like, that's another thing, man.
I'm not sure, Tony. Hold on.
But, like you're on PS4, I'm on PS5. We should still be able to play the same game. You know what I'm saying?
Can I play Fight? No. What do you
mean? I'm pretty sure it's not cross compatible or over there.
And that sucks, too, because, you have it for Xbox, don't you? You have it for the Series X?
Yep.
Now, you see, the reason I bought it on PlayStation is because it was $20 cheaper, you know? And it was a hard copy. I wanted to get a hard copy.
So, did you get paid about 30 bucks for it?
40.
40 bucks.
Yeah.
No cross-play, folks.
Yeah.
Wait, yet, or we don't know?
Just said no cross-play, folks. Huh.
Looks like we got, we had KJG as a spinning circle of death there.
Yeah, I can't leave spinning wheel in the fucking room.
Yeah, Kevin's having some internet issues too, apparently. We're just fucking off the rails tonight. Holy moly. HK, how are you?
It was just aggravating, dude. I'm sorry.
I understand that you
And I don't want to bring aggravation to the show tonight. You guys had a good time last week without Tony being aggravated, but...
No, but this is what we're here for. We're here for you to vent so you don't beat your wife and drown your kid.
Why? No, first of all, I don't have a pool. Second of all, I would never beat my wife.
You only need 3 inches of water, Tony.
Yeah, who says you need a pool?
Can you measure it for me, HK?
I can measure it for you 3 times.
Oh, yeah?
1 inch at a time, bud.
HK, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Everybody fucking had the day off of work, not me. Not me. I was at work, man, just enjoying my time. And, we took in a hockey game on Saturday. So it'd been a while since I've been to a hockey game. That was a lot of fun. Went and saw the Wild play the Stars. Ended up right next to the ice. It was kind of cool being that close. I had never had seats quite that good. So, yeah, great time.
Oh, I dig that. You Minnesota people don't recognize the indigenous people?
I was telling Tony earlier, everybody else in the building gone. Nobody there. My office, we were there.
Oh boy.
Yep. Yeah. So it was fine though. It was a nice, quiet day.
Oh, I was good. Off for Columbus Day.
Okay.
Columbus Day.
You don't respect the indigenous people?
I respect them, but today's Columbus Day.
But he was a murderer.
So were the indigenous people. You want to go there?
I mean, see, you know.
Oh, no, Nelly's stuck.
Nelly's a real pain in the ass right now. Okay, so you, old grumpy Tony, was off for Columbus Day.
No, I wasn't. I actually fucking worked today, so I wasn't off.
That's a you problem. Did you dig more trenches in the backyard there?
No, but I think
Private Ryan.
Say hi to tree.
I did this morning. Fucking birds were eating all the seeds that the landscaper put out, so I had to chase them up. They were all hiding in a tree.
Oh God! So trees become
a fucking the fucking New York City for the migrant birds.
I was gonna say it's a refugee camp.
I almost heard Fuji Law coming from the front lawn.
Does your fucking Ring doorbell have video of you shooing the birds away from your tree?
No, because I open the front door and they all take off. Like they know the feds are coming. Although I did finish the drainage yesterday, and I power washed the entire fence in the yard, so it looks brand spanking new.
Wow! Just in time for winter.
Fuck yeah! The snow's got to listen. The sun's got to hit the fence, so it melts the snow when it comes. You know.
All right, and you had the energy to do the show tonight.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I missed last week.
Duh. Yeah.
Dur.
Speaking of dur, happy Canadian Thanksgiving. It's fucking October 9th. What's
wrong with yeah, you fucking idiots.
What's wrong with Canadians?
It's snowy. I hope you're making a nice fucking turkey. You jive turkey.
Oh.
You want some turkey, eh? What do they eat for Thanksgiving in Canada?
Like, some kind of duck poutine.
Duck poutine? Oh, we put gravy and cheese on the duck, eh?
Syrup? A lot of maple
ham.
Oh, maple. Oh, duck and maple syrup.
I bet you they eat some ham.
Probably ham. Ham seems like a Canadian thing. I don't think they have many turkeys up in Canada, right? Oh, they got a lot of pigs up in Canada. You ever gone hogging in Montreal? What do Canadians eat for Thanksgiving? What do Canadians...
Oh, yams. I bet you they eat a lot of yams. I doubt they do turkey. I feel like turkey
is
like
an American thing. What do Canadians eat for breakfast? No, for Thanksgiving.
I think they probably still have turkey. A little stuffing.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roast turkey, roast beef, ham, stuffing, mashed taters, sweet taters, cranberry sauce, sweet corn, various autumn vegetables, squashes and Brussels sprouts too. Hey, they
is
eat
it
everything
just like
that we eat, bro.
A random same. Monday in October? That seems so weird.
No, I don't know I'm much sure about Canadian not. Thanksgiving.
Is it the they same call Monday this every year?
Action de Grasse. It's a harvest festival. There you go.
Huh.
Oh, it celebrates the harvest and the other blessings. So there you go. It's kind of like ours.
What are their blessings?
I don't know. What do they bless up there? Oh, we're glad to be alive, eh?
Blessing the hose.
Whoa, the hose.
seems to always be on a Monday, so.
The hose and the haste.
So it seems
it's the second Monday in October. There you go.
Yeah, look at that.
So they got work off for that, too?
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving.
Ooh, I wonder how the Canadian Football League doubleheader was today, the Thanksgiving Day Classic.
Did the Argonauts play?
The Alouettes.
Probably the Rough Riders.
Get any results for me?
No, I'm reading Wikipedia. Give a fuck about Canadian football. Yeah,
nice.
The Rock played there. He made $7. Whoop-de-doo.
Oh, the Alouettes beat the Red Blacks 29-3.
The Red Blacks?
The Ottawa Red Blacks.
I don't know if that's a socially acceptable name.
Bro, I didn't name the fucking team, dude. Don't
you,
look
you shouldn't be hitting them so much that they turn red either.
Oh, looks like, Canada.
It looks like that was the only game today.
No more doubleheaders? I guess the CFL's in the toilet, huh?
There's only 8 teams. They play fucking 21 weeks. Oof.
8 teams are playing 21 weeks. That's insanity.
Yeah. Right? No, wait. So we might have more. Let me go to the standings.
Oh, boy.
3-4.
Come for the wrestling. Fucking, stay for the CFL results.
Fucking 9 teams. How does that work out? Oof.
That's probably why they play 21 weeks.
Yeah. The whole season's a round robin.
Pretty much.
Woof.
Do they even have a championship game?
Yeah, they play for the Grey Cup.
Yes, the Grey Cup.
Who gives a shit?
The Canadians do.
I don't. There's a lot more of us than there are of them.
I don't think many of them do care about it, to be honest with you.
If they did, they'd have more than 9 goddamn teams.
Yeah. You ever watched a CFL game?
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Not a sellout.
Nope.
I mean, you ever watch Dynamite? Never a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
You said that, man.
Yeah.
I know I said it. I know what I said. I got a lot of issues this week about
Collision looked rough too.
About AEW and the Ring of Honor.
Oh boy, more joy coming out from the guy down below us.
Oh yeah. I'm just gonna filibuster and see if our guest arrives. We'll wait a couple minutes and see if that happens.
It's about that time already?
Yeah, because we took fucking all the issues before the 10 minutes before the show starts. The 6:50 time slot was when we were dealing with all the technical issues, and that took time. And then we were all frustrated, and I just said, "Start the fucking show without me." And then you started, and it was like 7:00.
Yeah, and of course, Handsome Kevin wanted to know my opinions on AEW.
I was excited to hear, man. I was excited to hear.
And I'll be honest, like, I didn't type anything that happened to me to you guys just for that fact, because I wanted to make sure everything was still fresh in my mind.
Fresh in the dome. The show.
Yeah,
we're without KJG. He's having internet issues.
Oh, look at this.
But our guest is here. Can I bring him in?
Of course you can bring him in.
All right. It's not letting me. There we go. I had to do that. This is very exciting because we are now being joined by the NWA Junior World Heavyweight Champion. And for all you Shining Wizards history buffs, first father-son combo, not you, Tony. Jesus Christmas. Colby Carino, how are you, sir?
I'm doing real well. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know we're getting ready for the big pay-per-view at the end of October, but we appreciate you joining us and talk a little NWA and Salwyn, although if I didn't hear James Mitchell say it 100 times every Tuesday, I would never be able to pronounce the name of this pay-per-view.
Oh, me neither. I've been practicing it before every interview. Salwyn.
It looks like
Sam Hain.
Sam Hain, yeah. What is a Sam Hain?
What's a Salwyn?
We looked up Salwyn like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. I forgot already. It's all
right. The farmers do out on the farm.
Like the harvest of, I don't know. That's as much something with harvest and Halloween.
So are you going to recommend to Billy next time not to let Father James Mitchell pick any more pay-per-view names?
Oh, why not? I feel like it's way more exciting than like Battle Bowl or something.
That is a fair point.
We had your father on the show probably like 5 years ago. It was the first time I ever watched a New Japan Pro Wrestling show. It was Wrestle Kingdom. I was up really late. And while he was calling Wrestle Kingdom, I was tweeting at him that we'd love to have him on the show. And we ended up setting it up and having him on the guest. So you guys are the first father-son combo of guests on The Shining Wizard. So that's pretty exciting for us.
That is very exciting. I'm glad to be part of this historic achievement.
Well, you seem to be following in his footsteps. Junior heavyweight champion. You won against Kerry Morton. You're going on to face Joe Alonso at Salwyn. Joe Alonso, not a very likable character. He's very ornery on TV, and it kind of it aggravates me, to be perfectly honest with you. When you step in the ring with someone like that and you just want to punch him in the face repeatedly, do you have to put that aside because you know your championship title's on the line, or you just go balls to the wall?
I think there's a healthy amount of anger that you can have take over in a little bit, but you can't get too lost in the sauce. You know, you gotta keep the goal in sight. And, I always say that pro wrestling isn't ballet, and I'm like, I'm not talking down any ballerinas out there, but it's a different skill set. You're here to get beat up a little bit. So, you gotta unleash that sometimes.
Well, I hope you unleash it on the 28th against Joe Alonso at Samhain on Fight TV. Exciting time in the NWA. Not only are you the junior heavyweight champion, but they just announced that they're kind of starting to bring back territories with what happened this past weekend. What does that mean for you as the champion? It's bad enough that you have a target on your back in the NWA, but now we're going to start branching out. Does that excite you that you'll be seeing more challengers, or is it something that you kind of have to, you know, keep a couple eyes in the back of your head?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm excited. Like, it's just been over just a month since I've won the championship, and I've had 12 defenses already, and I've got three more lined up for the month of October, or four, including the match with Joe Alonso. So, I don't plan on stopping. Like, if the territory system is going to help me with that, it's awesome. And, I hope that, like, we start to make more NWA territories in a lot of other markets that, like, NWA doesn't normally go to, too. So we have good representation all around the country and the world, maybe.
I would love it if they came up to the Jersey area, because it's hard to get down to Kentucky and Georgia, wherever you guys are taping. Ohio is where Samhain is. I have to keep saying it or I'm going to butcher the name, no doubt.
I remember Circle Squared, when that was a thing, when you had your match with George South, and I just remember seeing you then, and there were two people that caught my eye with the NWA. One of them is your current women's world champion, and the other one is a fella that we're interviewing right now, Colby Carino. And when I saw you wrestle George South, I'm like, wow, for a veteran, he really didn't give Colby much, but what I saw from Colby was straight fire. And look at you now, man, junior heavyweight champion, defeated that diabolical, despicable Kerry Morton and sent him and his old man packing. What's the ride like been for you coming through the system, getting that opportunity to join the NWA and then eventually, you know, becoming a world champion?
It's been a great journey. Like that first day with George South, it was amazing. Like, George is a mentor to me, and I've wrestled him probably 15 to 20 times at this point. And that day at NWA, I kept asking him, like, we were at the building at 10 o'clock in the morning, and all day I was chasing him around, like, George, do you want to, like, talk about this match? He's like, oh yeah, buddy, just give me a minute. And then he would disappear for hours. I wouldn't see him at all. And eventually I called up to him, and he's just like, you know, just relax, buddy, we'll talk about it out there, you'll be fine, just listen to me. And It was the perfect thing. It was like the antithesis of what George South is. I shouldn't have expected anything else from that. But then, like seeing the growth from there, when we were at the GBP or GPB, I could never get it's some sort of a combination of those three letters. The studios in Atlanta, all the way to like where we are now. It's been a good journey, and I feel like now we're at a point where we're expanding. We're wrestling a lot more. We have shows lined up. We got Samhain coming up in Cleveland. Then we got a show in Nashville, then Sarasota, Florida. We're starting to really get out there and expand a little bit. And I think the territory system is really going to help with that too.
Do you like, I know for the current season of Power, we've gone back to more of that studio feel. Like, I know when the pay-per-views were coming, there were a lot of tapings on the road. Do you prefer getting back to like that original studio feel? Do you feel like maybe, you know, there should be more tapings on the road? Like what's your opinion of the, you know, I guess the production side of NWA and kind of going back to its roots a little bit more?
I love the studio setting because like, it's such like a small and like isolated space that you have so much control over what goes on to it as far as like the set and stuff. We're able to change up the set, like this new season of Power. We have, everything's changed up. We've added all these production cool things with like the entrances and stuff. And I don't think that would be as possible if we were doing road shows as often. But don't get me wrong, I love doing these road shows. I think it's good to have a healthy mix of both. Like, have the studio shows be like the home base shows, and then be able to travel around so everyone can see their favorite NWA stars.
It's pretty remarkable that you're 27 years old and you've been in the business for almost a decade. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Being that your father is Steve Carino, was it hard for you to kind of get out from his shadow? Did you see yourself facing different challenges versus, you know, like if me or Tony just walked into a wrestling school and wanted to train?
it was a like I never I always felt like a little bit of pressure on my shoulders to be good, but I've always made it like a very conscious effort to not be Steve Corino Jr. Because I'm sure there's a few second generation wrestlers that come off the top of your head that you can think of that maybe weren't as successful as their fathers were because they tried to just be their father Jr. And I always tried to make it a habit or to be innovative and be very creative with what I do and try to present stuff that's completely new so that people like when they see me that it's not just the King of Old School part two and it's like they're watching a new exciting wrestler that they actually want to watch, not just because they're like, oh, I remember his dad and he was very good.
was there things like, was that, because obviously there's things that you're going to carry over from his work, you know what I mean, like it's just there has to be things that you would carry over that you would learn from him, but it was a conscious effort to try and step in a new direction or a different direction, or are there things that you're still hanging on from, you know, being around him in your repertoire?
Oh, 100%. Like I never did any of his moves. I never like hit all his favorite like his catchphrases or whatever. Like I tried not. All right, one time I made a set of gear that looked just like his, but like even that I changed up a little bit. He had the thing when I had the trunk. It's different. It's different. But I always try to make it like a little bit different.
Gotcha.
And sometimes I think it's excuse me, not fair to a lot of the second generation wrestlers because they're put on a pedestal that they didn't necessarily ask to be put on when they got into the business, right? You just fell in love with the business, so you wanted to be a wrestler like your father. Like nobody, if my father's a tow truck driver and I want to be a tow truck driver, no one's like, ah, little Matty Bowman, huh, following in his father's footsteps. No, they're just like, you're a fucking tow truck driver, so drive the truck. So it's, I don't think it's a fair stereotype for you guys where it's like, he's from, his father's a wrestler, so he has to live up to that standard. So I think it's nice that you made a conscious effort to separate yourself, and you are crushing it on your own, man. You're one of the highlights of the NWA. I will not lie, the Tyrus era was rough for me to watch. Now that we've moved past that, we have EC3 as the champion. The production is different. The power is an easy watch. There's a lot of great things going on there. Obviously, you're focused on the Junior Heavyweight Championship, but you have to be aware of everything that's going around. Is someone like an EC3, is that's never out of sight, right? There's always, if the opportunity presented itself, you'd go after that 10 pounds of gold?
No, no doubt. Like, it's always my dad held the world's heavyweight championship. So it's always like a gold mine to hold that belt just like he did. But don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to hop out of my spot right now. I'm good with where I'm at. I'm trying to set records for the junior heavyweight division. Like, I want to be the hardest working champion that has ever been. And man, looking at this title lineage, I got my work cut out for me. But it's a task I'm ready to take. So maybe once I'm done with the junior division, I would love to move up, maybe bulk up a little bit, get up to the heavyweight division and take that title. But for right now, I'm focused on the juniors.
Who's impressing you right now in the NWA locker room?
Ooh, okay. So, Through Bailey Silas Mason, I feel like that's an easy one. He's like a top star in the making. And I look at people like AJ Kazana. He's a guy that like is another second generation or third generation, I believe, actually, yeah, wrestler. And he's been getting so much better and he puts in a lot of work. I gotta give it to Alex Taylor too. Like, man, when he first started, he was just one of the extra guys that was sent up the ring. And now, like, he's a real someone I really enjoy watching in the ring. He's really on his way up, and I feel like a couple more years of seasoning, and maybe he'll get a junior heavyweight championship run, but not by beating me.
So, I know you were here in New Jersey in September, and you wrestled at H2O, and you defeated our dear good friend, Lowlife Louis Ramos. Were you subject to the drill, though?
No. Unfortunately, he didn't. Well, I guess fortunately for me, he
fortunately. Did not. Fortunately.
Might have just took a deep, dark look into the cold here.
Goddamn, Colby, let's do the drill, though.
No, Louis was trying real hard for that. He told me he cut down to only one Four Loko a week for the match, which is absolutely insane. I'm pretty sure I see Louis go through like 5 Four Lokos before his matches usually.
That's usually his ride home from work.
You follow Lou, if you're friends with Louis on Facebook, you know he's crushing Four Lokos every day, that maniac.
He sure is.
I don't even know how. Those are the most vile tasting drinks I have ever tasted in my life. I don't know how he enjoys drinking them.
He created a device called the Drildo.
Yeah.
I think that's all you need to know about the Four Loko loaf. Is the death match something that clearly you're open to it because it's not your first time, but you know, is there a preference for you? Obviously, you know, it seems like in the death match industry, everyone's always trying to one up each other with the craziest shit.
No, 100%, and that's kind of what keeps me from jumping full the way into death matches. Like I dip my toes every once in a while, and I'll get crazy, but it seems like it's a race to do the most craziest stuff, and who could top like the most body pushing and most insane thing that just, and I don't know if I'm built to do that. Like I wrestle 3 times a weekend, and I can't. I have to make it to my booking tomorrow, you know. So it's always like, it's not that I go, like I try to like go half-assed on it, but I definitely try to like pick and choose when I dip my toes into the deathmatch pool.
Yeah, I've never stepped foot in a wrestling ring before in my life, but I would. Louis has been around for a very long time, so you know what you get when you sign up for Low Life Louis. You know he's gonna, you know, take care of you and not turn your head into a cheese board.
Oh yeah, and plus he's a legend. How can I turn down a match with his style with Louis? You know,
yeah,
I had to cross that off the list.
Are there any other legends that you are looking forward to stepping in the ring with? Whether it be NWA or out on in your various bookings.
So I really want to wrestle Chris Masters in a singles match. Anytime someone asks, that's the one I always want. I wrestled him in like a 12-man tag, and it just wasn't enough. I want a singles match, me and him. But the real big one I got is me versus Roderick Strong.
Ooh.
And we used to, like, when I was a young boy in Ring of Honor, and before every show that I'd go in the ring and work out, he was one of the guys that would come out there and I say work out with me, but I really mean just beat me up. But but man, I learned so much from him, and like now that like I'm grown, I'm a champion, a world champion, I think I want a match with him before he hangs it up. And now that he's out in the indies, I see him taking these bookings, like I know it's possible, so I'm hunting for it.
Beautiful.
I would love to see that. You really are. If no one's ever watched the NWA, you never watch NWA Power, you're thinking about getting Samoan like Colby Carino, and I'm not saying this because you're on the show, we've talked glowingly about you, like you're a bright light in that company. Your in-ring work is phenomenal. I love that they put the title on you, and the stuff that you've been doing has just been fantastic. So you know, you throw me Colby Carino, Roderick Strong. If Tony Khan wants to put that in a Ring of Honor ring, it would definitely make it worth the $9.99 a month I'm paying for AEW Dark. I mean, Ring of Honor TV. Sorry, I'm a little hot. I've been watching the Ring of Honor TV. I'm a little hot about it. I love Ring of Honor. I love what Ring of Honor stands for. I just want it to be. To be better for the fans of Ring of Honor, if that makes sense.
Oh, no doubt. I don't really catch much wrestling outside of NWA, and you know I do watch a lot of indies. I try to keep my eyes out on what's young out there, but I don't get to watch a lot of the TV wrestling or Ring of Honor, so I can't really comment all one way or another on that. Check out the pay-per-view though.
Yeah. You got to work Darius Carter. I know he's a big name up here in the Northeast. A lot of people are high on him. How was your experience working with him at the Premier Streaming Network Wrestling Showcase?
Oh, I've wrestled Darius so many times. And every time I wrestle him, I usually leave hurting. But I really enjoy wrestling him. I feel like when me and him get in the ring, we have like just a certain chemistry. And it's not like we're friends or anything. Like it's just there's sometimes like two wrestlers just click in a ring. And I feel like he's a tough dude that hits hard. I'm a pretty tough dude that hits hard. And we both know how to wrestle. So when we go out there, we just, what we put out is, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or nothing, but I really like all my matches with Darius, and you can find a lot of them on YouTube. Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm sick over here too. Don't worry about it.
Is there?
I think he's getting over sickness. He's been sick for all weekend, stuck inside the house. This poor kid.
Aww.
Is there a spot or a move you will not do? Like, I've talked to other wrestlers, and there's certain, like, I've talked to wrestlers that just refuse to take part in a monkey flip, or I've talked, you know what I mean? Just, is there anything that in a match you're just, that's not for you?
An overhead belly to belly suplex.
Overhead belly to belly.
Yes.
Bad experience?
The one that broke Big E's neck.
Gotcha.
Ever since I saw it, like, I was always a little iffy on taking that move, like, because, like, don't get me wrong, like, some guys, like, who with some real shoot wrestling experience, they could toss you over and get you over, but if you don't know, if you're not trained and you to really, like, tuck someone's head and get them over, it could be a little scary. And, like, seeing Big E break his neck, that was literally, like, the, okay, I am never taking that move again. Like, I don't care. Like, it's just, there's no, I feel like one move in a match is meaningless. And there, it's all about the feeling and the rhythm and everything else in a pro wrestling match. And if you can't, if your whole match relies on just one move, then you're not really a good wrestler.
Right. Absolutely.
October 28th, Samhain, live on Fight TV. If you can't be in the Cleveland, Ohio area, you can get it on Fight TV. Take yourself out of the picture, Colby. What's one match you would tell people they have to see if it's not Colby Carino against Joe Alonzo?
I'm looking at the main event with EC3 and Tom Latimer. I think both of them are on the top of their game. Ooh. Sorry. And it's just, I feel like a lot of people on the internet don't, like, on Twitterville, don't give them, or Xville, or whatever we want to call it nowadays. Don't want to give EC3 and Tom Latimer a lot of shine, but I think they're two guys that have been working really hard and really, like, put out really good matches in the ring. That, like, you know, everyone that's going through, scrolling through Twitter or Instagram isn't going to expect. But I think everyone's going to be really, really entertained by what happens.
Yeah, and I do like the current dynamic where Tom Latimer, you know, like, he's getting that time to shine. He's getting serious. I know Camille's kind of taking that, like, insurance policy role again. You know, when she first came out with Nick Aldis, she didn't speak. She was just there, and she wasn't afraid to get anybody's face. I kind of like that dynamic. It's going to be a great match. Going to be a great match. Completely agree with that one.
Oh, 100%. And I'm always intrigued to see what Camille does. Like, you know, I've always been very vocal that she's probably one of my favorite women wrestlers of all time, probably. She's great. And so now that she's not in the ring, per se, like, I'm excited to see what happens. Because, like, I know that she's got to get back sometime.
Yeah, and I tell you what, though, Kenzie Page, this was her time, man. She's been waiting in the wings for a while, man. I'm happy that she got that nod over Camille, that she won the title. And the whole thing Pretty Empowered's doing. It's a great group. It's a great group, the three of them.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole, like, the NWA 75, like, it felt like a whole ushering in the new era. It's not just like a hashtag. Like, it felt like almost every title changed hands except Tom's title, which he just gave up. But besides that point, it really just feels like the younger guys are just being given the ball to really run with it. And I feel like the people being given the ball are really capable of running with it. And we're proving it right now.
100%. Samhain's going to be a great show.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Do you want to grab that on Fight on October 28th? Power every Wednesday. Not Wednesday, Jesus Christ. Tuesday. Every Tuesday on YouTube, 6:05. I love the new layout, the new production. It's fantastic. And I think the NWA is getting back to where it was before the pandemic. I know it was bumpy roads for a lot of people. So it's great. And it's great to have you as the NWA Junior National Heavyweight Champion.
World Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Matt's been a little sick lately. He's all over the place today. He had a few technical issues before the show started.
Technical
issues. So.
There was a lot going on. It's technical issues. The fucking cat keeps jumping on the goddamn table. It's a mess over here, Colby. It's a complete disaster. You have a child. I don't know how people. My sister-in-laws have kids. they're it's madness. I don't know how you guys deal with it. God bless you. I fucking cats. Who cares? Cats are easy. You poop in the box. I'll clean it in 2 days. I don't know how you guys deal
two
with kids.
Days. God,
dude, you're on that.
You gotta be. Because then they start walking around. I can't have cat shit all over my house. What kind of animal do you think I am?
2 days, Jesus.
Your cats will start protesting after 2 days?
I don't see. Here's the problem. I don't want to test them because I know if I die in my sleep, they would eat me. They would eat me.
Of course they will.
So what's stopping them from eating me if I don't clean their litter box after 2 days?
Well, I guess you have a point, so. Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Make sure they don't hear me. They'll come in. She'll come in. She'll stick her butthole right in the camera, Colby. It's embarrassing. It's completely embarrassing. Good God. And, yeah, look, world champion. You're everywhere, bro. You were not kidding when you said you defend the title a dozen times. North Carolina, Jersey, Georgia. I mean, it is a nonstop Colby Carino NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship train. It's coming to Cleveland, Ohio, October 28th, live on Fight. Joe Alonzo is going down because he upset what's her face? Why can't I think of her name? She was with Thrill Billy. He interrupted her. Yeah, Poyo. He interrupted Poyo a couple weeks ago. He was a real dick to her. He deserves to get his dick kicked in, that fucking Joe Alonzo. I'm fired up now. I feel it now. Colby, I gotta ask you. I ask every guest this. Mark, Super Agent Mark didn't warn you about this. When was the last time you shit your pants? You got a good pants shitting story.
All right, do you want the real honest story?
Hell yeah!
Look, just so you know, the bar is high because Ethan Page told us before he was a wrestler at his door to door salesman job, he shit in some lady's house and clogged the toilet.
Well, I have the benefit of also this being an NWA related story, so I will tell you the story. But after that, I gotta go because
fair enough.
I can face the embarrassment after this. So NWA, we went on tour with the Smashing Pumpkins, and we got to we did 4 shows in 6 days. We went Alabama, then down to Florida, did 2 shows in Florida, then up to Charlotte, and we did wrestling in between the bands at the concert. It was super cool. Awesome. And all the wrestlers, we basically got treated like rock stars, like we were another band. Like we had our own locker room. No, not personally. All the wrestlers got one locker room, but that's still pretty cool.
And, that's awesome.
Yeah, we got treated super well, way better than wrestlers get treated. But the one thing was that most of the bathrooms, most of the locker rooms that we had only had one or two bathrooms in it. So we made a group agreement between the 15 or so of us wrestlers that were there that no one would poop in these toilets at all, and that we would find another toilet to poop in so that we didn't stink up the locker room. And
that's a reasonable request.
Yeah, very reasonable request. And all was good until the very last show in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I went into the bathroom and I brought my trunks and my wrestling gear so I can get changed in there and not flash anybody. So go into the bathroom, I get changed. And while I'm in there, I'm like, you know what? I got to pee real quick. So I start peeing and it's not even one of those farts that I try to trust. It just came out and I pooped my pants. Then, what do I do? You got a toilet right there and you got a pants full of poop. You got to turn around. You got to poop in the toilet. So I had to commit a cardinal sin and poop in the toilet, in the locker room toilet that we all just agreed not to. But then I clogged the toilet. So then, I'm trying to fix it. Of course, there's no plunger in there. So I'm, taking apart the toilet. I'm, I don't know how toilets work. So I'm just, I'm pulling random levers. I'm trying to get it all figured out. And at one point, for about 5 minutes, I just stared at the toilet. And I heard a knock on the door. And it was a girl. She's like, how long are you going to be out of there soon? I'm like, oh, my goodness. I have a girl waiting on the other side of this toilet that I just clogged in the forbidden locker room toilet. So I had to make the decision that I had to go out there and I had to tell everybody about this. And luckily, so I walk out there and it's the locker room was basically a trailer. So I walk out of the bathroom and like there's like two rooms. There's one big room and then there's a back room. And in the one big room, it's all like guys. It's like four or five guys. I'm like, all right, thank God. It's just the girl, guys. So I tell them about it. They all laugh at me, which is expected. And they all like understand. And then I walk into the back room and Camille's there.
Oh boy.
And I had to explain to Camille about how I clogged the forbidden toilet. And that might be the most embarrassing moment of my life.
I'm sure she was very understanding.
Oh my God.
She actually was way more understanding than I thought she would be.
I had to jump in here, guys. I'm sorry. The forbidden toilet, that's the name of the show. That's it. That's the episode.
I was going to go with a cardinal sin myself.
I tried to stay out for a little bit, Colby, because I was having technical issues, but I had to jump in after that story. Had to.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't wait for all the clickbait about me pooping my pants in the forbidden toilet.
No, we love it. We've all got.
We could only be so lucky.
We've all got shit, pants shitting stories. We're a very sharing group.
Yeah, ask Blue Meanie about mine.
Colby, it's been an absolute pleasure. I know we got to let you go. At Colby Carino on Twitter, at Colby.Carino on Instagram, ProWrestlingTees.com/ColbyCarino, NWA Sal in October 28th, live on Fight, the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion with successful defense number. It'll probably be in the 30s by the time we get to October because he's going to smush Joe Alonso, that mean son of a bitch. He's going to smush him into the carpet. And then who's next? Who wants some? Rolando Freeman? Get out of here. Kick rocks. Who else we got? Chris Masters? Chris Masters don't want none of this. He's not a junior.
Down a little bit of weight, but it's all right.
Yeah, come on, Chris. Good. Fucking get dysentery. Lose a couple LBs. Get in there with Colby. We want a rough and tough rum here. Colby, this was a lot of fun. I hope you had a good time. Special
thanks to
Super Agent Mark for setting this up on such short notice. He's the best. And when you are like the world champion, we'd love to get you back on here because we had such a good time, man.
I'll be back. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
Awesome.
I'm gonna follow up with that, buddy. Don't you worry. I'm annoying as shit on Twitter, or the X, whatever you want to call it. I'm coming to get you now, Colby.
You know, you have your peoples call Super Agent Mark. We'll get it done.
Beautiful. We're on it. Colby Carino, everybody. October 28th, Fight TV, if you can't be in Cleveland, Ohio. Check him out. Check out all the boys and girls over at NWA Power. They do an amazing job. Colby, thank you again. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Thanks, Colby.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
Ooh. All right. Hey!
Oh, KJG, did you move?
I had to relocate, man. I just got up and left. I moved out from the base, moving on up from the basement.
I was gonna say, you got a hell of a real estate agent, man.
Yeah, exactly. From the basement to the dining room. That's how I roll.
It looks nice, though. It looks nice.
Well, my dad and my mom did a great job.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
So this proves that you do actually live in a house, not just a weird basement.
No, I don't live in a cave. No, no.
But, all you cave dwellers, kick rocks. Kevin does not live in a cave.
No. I'm very lucky to still be living here, so it's all good.
All right. Well, special thanks to Colby Carino and Super Agent Mark for setting that up. That was a lot of fun. I'm glad he got to pop in here and talk a little bit about the NWA and such. I'm glad you guys were here for the ride.
Was it how long did you guys have? Like the 20 minutes that we good 20? Solid.
Like a half an hour.
Pushed it to about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we got to the poop story. Really pushed it over the top.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, tremendous story, by the way.
Oh, that wasn't the cue? Oh, it was the cue.
You guys didn't do this?
No.
I'm sorry. That was a good segue. Was that on purpose?
Sounds much better when we have the actual theme music.
Yeah. WWE Fastlane. Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso defeat the Judgment Day. That's become your new tag team champions. Carlito and the LWA. LWO.
The Wrestling Association.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits.
Profits.
Struggling the day.
Manny and Randy Poffits.
The Street Poffos.
WWE Women's Title Triple Threat Match. Io Sky defeats Asuka and Charlotte Flair. John Cena and LA Knight defeat The Bloodline in an AEW World Heavyweight Title Last Man Standing Match. Seth Rollins defeats Shinsuke Nakamura on NXT. Butch and Tyler Bate defeat Gallus in an WWE NXT Women's Number One Contendership Triple Threat Match. Lyra Valkyria defeats Indy Hartwell and Roxanne Perez. And Gigi Dolan defeats Blair Davenport in the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament first round. Kalani Jordan defeats Izzy Dame. I like it when you call me Dame. JC Jane and Thea Hale defeat Electra Lopez and Lola Vice. And a WWE North American title match. Dominic Mysterio defeats Trick Williams. Tony, take me over the top.
The Undertaker holds the accolade for defeating every member of Evolution at WrestleMania. He defeated Ric Flair at WrestleMania 18, Randy Orton at 21, Batista at 23, and Triple H consecutively at WrestleManias 27 and 28. Come on, who said Triple H didn't put over young talent? See, you thought I was going this way, and I went that way.
I was surprised. You surprised me. Over in AEW land, Dynamite Wednesday night, AEW International title match, Phoenix defeated Nick Jackson. Wardlow defeats Griff Garrison by referee's decision. The Acclaimed were successful defending their World Trios Championships against Kip Sabin, The Butcher, and The Blade. Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega defeated Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. Tony Storm defeated Sky Blue. On Rampage, the Best Friends and the Hardys defeated Angelo Parker, Daniel Garcia, Jake Hager, and Matt Minardi. The Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Utah, defeated Levi Shapiro and Wise Guy Ruiz. This is a real thing, people.
Levi Shapiro got a shot? No, look at that.
He got a real fucking shot. He had a chance. Karushita and Chris Statlander defeated Marina Shafir and Nyla Rose. Your Ring of Honor World Title Number One Contendership Four-Way Match. Commander defeated Johnny TV, Lince Dorado, and Pente El Zero Miedo. We're going to go back to that at some point tonight. Over on Collision, we have brand new AEW World Tag Team Champions as Big Bill and Ricky Starks defeated FTR. Bryan Danielson defeated Kyle Fletcher. The Bullet Club Gold defeated Angelico, Gravity, and Metalik. The Acclaimed defeated the Iron Beasts and Jack Jameson. Tony Storm defeated Kira Hogan. And your Ring of Honor World Title match, Eddie Kingston defeated Commander. Tony, take me over the top, please.
Sting and Hulk Hogan have been in the ring together at Starrcade, Bound for Glory, and WrestleMania. Sounds like this is another opportunity for AEW to make history. If it works for Tony Khan, brother.
Oh, boy. Speaking of Tony Khan, and speaking of Ring of Honor, let's go right to ROH TV. Kojima defeats Tony Nese with Smart Mark Sterling. Josh Woods over Tyler Payne, ROH Women's Title Match, World Title Match, mind you. Athena defeats Layla Hirsch, Rocky Romero over Christopher Daniels. Scorpio Sky defeats the debuting, right, Fred Rosser. Kiera Hogan, Sky Blue, and Willow Nightingale defeat Charlotte Renegade, Lady Frost, and Robin Renegade. Ethan Page defeats Invictus Cash, the mighty Don't Kneel with Bad Dude Tito. Dear good friend of the show, defeat the Infantry, Charlie Bravo and Sean Dean with Trish Adora. Darius Martin defeats Lee Johnson. Billy Starks defeats Trish Adora. Shane Taylor Promotions, Lee Moriarty and Shane Taylor defeat the Iron Savages, Boulder and Bronson with Jack Jameson, the Workhorsemen, Anthony Henry and J.D. Drake, and Adam Cole, Carter and Griff Garrison. That's that match. Gravity, Commander, and Metalik defeat Spanish Announce Project and Helico, Serpentico, and Gringo Loco. That was a mouthful. And Tony, now for your mouthful, take me over the top.
Yoda Tsuji has more 5-star matches than Kurt Angle. September 24th, 2023, Will Ospreay versus Yoda Tsuji, New Japan Destruction in Kobe.
It's true.
All right.
Why did you put the inflection on Will Ospreay's name?
Will Ospreay.
That is how they say it.
Yeah, it is. Will Ospreay.
All right, Tony, keeping it right here. KJG with your Impact update over the top. Tasha Steelz defeats Killer Kelly. Tag Team Revenge Lumberjack match. Ace Austin and Chris Bay defeat Jay Vidal and John Skyler, also known as the Good Hands.
the mixed tag team 10-man tag match. Champagne Singh, Dirty Daniel, Eric Young, Jake Something, Jordan Grace defeat their good close personal friend Brian Myers, Bully Ray, Jody Threat, Kylan King, and Shira. Josh Alexander over Big Con. Moose with dear good close personal friend Brian Myers defeats Bhupinder Gujjar. Tony, take me over the top, Big Daddy.
This is my only non-wrestling over the top for this week. Boeing used potatoes to test in-flight Wi-Fi. Potatoes actually reflect and absorb Wi-Fi signals similarly to human bodies. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve thought potatoes would be great to test other things as well.
Oh, boy.
Nothing? Adam and Eve?
Oh, I get it.
Got it. I
you get
it.
Six DVDs free with every purchase. And potatoes. Who's next?
And why is the DVDs an incentive?
Do people even have DVD players anymore?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, give me a membership to Pornhub for a year. That'll be worth something.
You need a membership for that?
If you want the good stuff.
Ah, I got you.
You know, if you want multiple angles and things.
Right, right.
Multiple angles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
You don't want that one angle. It's just the balls. And,
munch my nuts. What did I? Great point.
Munch my nuts. I think we got a new character.
Munch.
Well, we're on MLW, Texas Tornado Tag Team Match. Second Gear Crew defeat the Calling? That's...
Yes.
All right.
The Calling, yes.
Shane Strickland defeats Ricochet? What? No. No, this is that's an old match. That's, nothing's going good there. Non-title match. Alex Kane defeats Snitsky. We're going to head right over to NWA Power.
Normables.
Take it easy, Munch. NWA World's Tag Team Title Match. Number one contender match, Natalia Markova and Taylor Rising defeat M95. Junior World Heavyweight Title Match, Colby Carino defeats Matt Vine. Jax Dane defeats Chris Silvio Esquire. And in the NWA National Heavyweight Title Match, Silas Mason defeats Dak Draper. Tony, over the top, me babe.
Triple H is now older than Vince McMahon was when McMahon was feuding with Steve Austin. Hopefully this is the one instance in a long line of the Elder Hunter not following the old man's lead, although he could probably afford the payoffs.
Last but not least, we go to XPW, South Why of not? Heaven.
Woo-hoo!
This took place like 2 weeks ago, but thanks for Brendan for getting this. In a death match, J.J. Escobar defeated Tarzan Duran.
Sure.
This is real life, people. Dan Moff defeated Dirty Ron. Clearly.
Of course he
what
did.
What the fuck, dude?
What's it
in a hardcore match, Tessa
is that like
Blanchard.
A Dirty Sanchez?
Yeah, yeah. Dan yeah. Nork. Tessa Blanchard defeated Mickey Knuckles in a hardcore match. It looks like we have a new XPW World Heavyweight Title Death Champion as Schlack defeated Alex Colon in another death match. I don't even know why he puts death matches. Just assume these are all death matches, people. Judge Joe Dredd, real fucking original, defeated Eric Dillinger. Big Joe, that's the dude in the diaper, he beat Lucky 13. MAGA Butcher defeated Jeff King. Fucking Jeff King! Would they pull him off the fucking side of the road? And Eric Ryan defeated Arrow Boy. This, me reading this, makes me want to stick a skewer in my pee hole. Tony, take me over the top.
I once took my wife, then my fiance, to a wrestling tournament in Island, New Jersey. The tournament featured a who's who of independent wrestling at the time, including Devin Storm, Nova, Billy Kidman, Ace Darling, Adam Flash, Don Montoya, The Reckless Youth, and Colby Carino's dad, Steve Carino. Pussy magnet right here. Or two other words that people would call me, fucking loser!
Yeah. Wow.
And she's still married me.
Going after yourself tonight, huh?
Listen, I go after all the wrestling fans every week. I figured tonight, make it about me. It is what it is.
Oh, the soft side of Tony.
It was a good tournament, too. Nova wound up winning the thing.
Sound, did you stay for the whole thing?
Of course I did. It was a tournament. Tony loves tournaments. Does he?
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Tony also loves pay-per-view picks.
Do I really?
Oh, my God. Tony loves the pay-per-view picks. Loves them. We didn't even talk about our pay-per-view picks last week, and I didn't I wasn't able to save last week's results, like what we did. I could probably pull them up, but whatever.
We mentioned it. We all didn't do great for NXT.
For NXT, no.
Well, NXT, they fucking zigzagged a lot with those results. Very surprising. Oh,
they zigged and we zagged.
Oh, yeah.
But Fastlane, everyone went 3-2.
Yeah.
Kevin had an opportunity to go 4-1, but he took Charlotte Flair instead of Io Sky.
Yeah. Like that one back.
What
I don't regret the other ones, though. I don't regret any of the other picks I made, though.
No. No.
No.
What did you guys think of the show? The old Fastlane.
Love the opening tag match. The women's match was very, very like even the crowd was dead for that match. It was rough. Shit, what else? Oh, the six man. Yeah, great. Carlito came out. And that was like the only 30 seconds that people really gave a shit about, honestly.
Well, I don't think people are getting behind Santos Escobar as much as like they're really hoping and they're really trying to get him. Like, I really don't think, I don't know why that is, but they're just not getting behind that portion of the group. Zelina Vega, yeah. Rey Mysterio gets a bigger pop now than he's probably ever gotten in his entire career, which is nuts to say.
Oh my God. And Zelina got involved at one point and they fucking went nuts for her.
Yeah. People love her and rightfully so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for some reason Santos Escobar is just not hitting, and I like the guy, and it's just not hitting with me either. Or is DJZ or Emrahul or what's I forget his name is now on the main card, but he was on the main roster, but he was Raul something.
Mendoza.
Mendoza.
Raul Mendoza.
In NXT, it's just even with the LWO gimmick, it's just not working. So. I didn't know the Carlito thing was going to happen, but I still predicted them to win because I feel like they needed it more than Lashley does. Even though the street poffos they're not hitting either in this new gimmick either.
Yeah, it's a shame. It was a weird kind of setup all around with that. John
people don't
Cena.
People don't know whether to cheer or boo the street poffos.
Like, yeah, because the Street Profits have always been so likable and they want the smoke and they would always, you know, it's weird. Yeah. It's weird. Cena and LA Knight, fucking good match. My son had the quip of the night, though. He said, you know, this match could stand to lose 5 minutes. And I said, you know what, kid? I think you're right. He goes, it's a good match, but it just seems like it's very long.
Yeah, did he pay for his own fucking haircut this week? You fucking lazy kid.
No, actually, we went Friday and he got a fresh haircut, too.
Yeah, he didn't pay for it, though.
No.
This kid getting a fucking job, bro.
He just bought some sort of workout bench.
With what money? Whose money?
His money.
How did he get the money?
Probably birthday money that he put
away.
Bro,
you better make sure he doesn't have a tree only fan.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of fell asleep during the main event, but I managed to wake up with about 5 minutes left. Was it any good?
I'll tell you what. There's two versions of Shinsuke. If you've watched New Japan Shinsuke Nakamura, there's two versions of Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, does he do job face when he's going to lose?
There's I'm going to work my fucking ass off Shinsuke Nakamura, and there's I'm just going to do the minimum. And I really feel like Seth Rollins was the fucking star of this match. His selling, like he carried this match. It was a good match. But I just don't think Shinsuke's like, he doesn't have boo-boo face. I just don't think he's like happy to be in that position. I don't know.
I feel like the story had to have been Seth Rollins selling a lot.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get it, but like it felt him. He did 75% of the work in that match. Because I think Nakamura was just show up and wrestle Nakamura, not bust his ass Nakamura.
Okay, so I don't know that backstory about him. So if that's the case, then I can see where you're coming from. But I thought that, now that I think about it, you're right. Seth Rollins was a bumping maniac for Nakamura. I mean, Nakamura had some pretty cool, like, and this is not going to sound like impressive at all because it's not really a part of wrestling, but he had some really good, like, reactions, like, in his face, like, with the blood. And when he pushed Rollins off the ladder onto the table, I really thought at that point, maybe they're going to swerve us again and we're going to get Shinsuke as the new champ. But yeah, the more I think about it, you're right. Seth Rollins really carried that match. It was a great match, though. It was way more physical. I know it was a last man standing match, but it was way more physical and way more dramatic than I expected it to be. And it was awesome.
HK?
I haven't watched the entire event yet. I've caught bits of it. I was at the hockey game on Saturday night. I've caught bits and pieces of it. I guess so far my big takeaway is I'm done with Charlotte. I'm completely done with Charlotte. I think the time has passed her by at this point. She looks slow. It looks sluggish. I think that she's been on a downhill for a while now, and she's getting to the bottom of the other side of the mountain. Excited to see Carlito back. I really am excited to see what he does moving forward. Him and as a face, I never quite could get behind. So I want to see kind of where they go with it. And then,
great reaction.
Yeah. I mean, he's, I'm a little bit of me is kind of surprised that he's getting the reaction that he is, because he's been gone long enough where the new crop of fans, I mean, unless they go back to watch, they're not going to be as familiar with him.
Well, when he came back at the Rumble, he got a great reaction too.
Huge reaction. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, was it the Rumble or was it Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's Puerto Rico. It was the New Year's show, I think, in Puerto Rico. Could be wrong about the timing of it, but it was definitely a Puerto Rico show where he got a tremendous reaction, understandably so. Yeah. But he got one in Indianapolis, Indiana. So clearly people miss him.
Yeah, which is great. Like I've always been a fan of his. And then I haven't made it through the main event yet, but I did see people losing their fucking minds over the spot where Rollins went to the floor. Everybody fucking calm down. Everybody fucking calm down. That everybody it's so knows, ridiculous.
Though. Everybody knows.
What do you mean? When like he got knocked out of the ring and stood up because he was on the floor?
Like, I don't know. From like the looked like a stairs on the side there, and he got knocked down. He landed on it looked like a type of a mattress gimmick.
Oh, crash pad.
Yeah, crash pad. There it is. And yeah. It's like, man, like and like people are raising hell about it. Shut up, everybody. Just fucking shut up.
Whoa! Man, they love that shit. He's in the ring for like 5 minutes before the ring announcer started.
Yeah.
That's crazy over shit, man. That's good shit.
Are we surprised? Because I feel like it's inevitable, and I could be wrong, because it feels like they're setting up the storyline like Seth Rollins can't keep up this pace. Are we surprised Damian Priest didn't cash in at the end of this match?
No, Mommy told him not to because he wasn't ready.
But she's in charge, man.
She's in charge. I get you,
but it seems like this would be the perfect opportunity. Like, he just went through a last man standing match.
Yeah, but they're establishing her that, like, she's the boss.
Maybe he does it tonight.
Didn't she tell Dom Dom last week, like, if you don't come back with that belt, don't bother coming back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she did.
Fuck yeah.
So they set that up for you to believe that it was definitely 100% a possibility. Like, he says, I'm not leaving empty-handed. But he was hurt. So it made sense for Rhea Ripley to say, don't do this tonight because there's a chance you might not win. But to your point, Seth Rollins got destroyed in this match. So, like, it would have been perfect despite how hurt you are. Like, when are you going to find a Seth Rollins that's as hurt as he was at that point? Now, tonight, you can make a case that Seth Rollins is still beaten up and broken and hurting and sore. And, you know, Priest's injuries aren't as serious. So maybe he can do it tonight. So I think Scott George just chimed in. Says he just tried to on Raw and McIntyre stopped him. I'm assuming that's Drew.
No, Darla.
Yeah, Darla McIntyre.
Ooh.
Now we talk about
Darla McIntyre was at the hat the other night.
I bet she was.
Oh, with the Benellis?
With the Benellis. She's a third member of the group now.
We talk about Mommy being the boss. Another boss showed up at Fastlane. Jade Cargill.
Fuck yeah, that bitch. Hell yeah.
I missed that. How did I miss that?
It was the pre-show. Well, I mean, they showed it during the pay-per-view, but it was a pre-show thing. She showed up. Triple H welcomed her, and dude, she's standing next to Triple H. She's a big girl. Holy shit, dude.
She's going to be this generation. Like, we're talking about, I think HK mentioned how he's not a fan of Charlotte Flair today. Jade Cargill is going to be the next Charlotte Flair. Like, there's just no doubt. She's too awesome, and she has the same kind of similar, even though she's more jacked, similar physical style. She's going to be the next Charlotte Flair. She's going to be the next megastar for years in WWE.
Just keep her away from Nia Jax.
She's not like most girls.
I'm not like most girls.
I only take you what I'm giving.
So the Fastlane, good show. No one will remember it in a week, but it was a good show. We got new tag champions, Cody and what, Jay? Right?
Yeah,
Jay?
Kind of a surprise with that result, no?
Big surprise.
Very, because I don't know, like, how do you take the belts off them now? Like,
that's the problem.
Like, obviously, Judgment Day has to be the team that does it, or maybe Sammy and Kevin do it.
And it's the same shit, like, with the Ring of Honor belts with Adam Cole.
Don't get me started.
All right, well, we'll get to that later, but it's kind of the same situation. It's like, now you've got two top stars, you know, who have belts. I mean, I get it, because they're trying to build up Jay. It's Jay, right?
Yeah, it's Jay. And they're doing a great job with both of them, by the way, separated on two different shows. Tremendous job with both in two totally different angles.
They are, but it's just a weird spot they put them in now that they're the champs, you know?
I'm shocked at how over Jey Uso is by himself. Shocked.
He's an oos.
Oh, their press conference, I caught that. It was fucking
hilarious. My God, yes, I did. I found it today. Oh, man.
Oh, what, did they have an interaction?
Oh, yeah.
They were, like, fucking lit, bro.
It's hilarious.
Jay and Cody were, like, fucking hammered.
Cody's like, yeah, full disclosure, we may have had a few celebratory cocktails.
I was like, Cody.
It was hilarious. Do you feel him, sir? Fucking made me laugh my ass off. I just fucking, because Jay was answering a question, and he said a couple of times, like, you feel me? You feel me? And then Cody just leaves and goes, do you feel him, sir?
I'm going to be completely honest. I Googled to see which one of the Usos had the DUI, and I was like, okay, it was the other one. Okay.
Yeah, Jimmy had like three of them.
Well, good thing it wasn't Jay. That's what I was concerned about. Jay. I was like, oh, boy.
No, it's Jimmy. No, Jimmy's the one that's married to Trinity.
Jay has also been arrested.
I mean, everyone's been arrested.
He's been arrested for DWI.
Day one.
I ain't driving, Oos.
It's just me, Oos.
Because I also
look
it up.
Jey Uso is now arrested in your city.
Down with DUI-ish.
So in addition to watching Fastlane, I also watched fucking NXT because I wanted to see this Dom Trick Williams match, because they're telling an interesting story. Dude, I don't know anybody in fucking NXT, though.
It's tough. When you get back into it, it's tough to catch up.
But there's a couple stars there.
Yes, I don't doubt that. How? It's on the fucking USA Network. How does nobody be like, hey, guys, Booker T is not great.
He stinks. He's the worst commentator of all time.
Shucky ducky.
Can we find somebody else to fucking do this?
When he Trick quotes Williams, a terrible when comedian. Trick Williams too. Makes his entrance and he's like, yeah, okay, I like it. Like, I'm infuriated by the whoop that trick. No problem with whoop that trick. No problem. Good. Have fun. Whoop that trick. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Shucky ducky.
Yeah. Right there. Right there.
Did they catch him ordering his DoorDash again?
Oh, with the Pizza Hut?
No, it was chicken parm from Olive Garden. Man, I was ordering my chicken parm. You know how hard it is to get food when you get out of here?
Just try to be better, Booker T. You're like a legend. You're
that's why he doesn't give a he doesn't give a fuck, man.
Yeah, I like it. Oh no, right there. Oh, that he be that guy. He be that guy right there, right there, right there. Yeah, I like it.
I was like, what the fuck? It why? Like why? Somebody has to know.
No, they love
Stevie
it.
Stevie Ray knows. Stevie Ray was good.
Damn.
Fruit booty.
So the story they're telling is that Trick was trying to get, or Carmelo Hayes was trying to get Trick to like pump the fucking brakes. Like, I've been there before. You need to have your head on a swivel. And Trick's like, I don't need your shit, bro. And fucking Melo was like, all right, fuck off, cuz I'm out. And then it was fucking 5-1, and that's why he lost the NXT North American title to Dom Dom. But I think the big story is next week, or this week, tomorrow.
Uh-oh, I know where you're going.
NXT versus AEW.
Title
and
Tuesday.
NXT is jacked. They're bringing in John Cena, Paul Heyman, I think Cody. Asuka, right?
And Cody.
And Cody. There's a rumor The Undertaker's going to be there.
Heard that.
You mean Mark the Mortician?
Cody's supposed to be making some sort of making some sort of major announcement. Do you think that would have you guys heard of what that possibly could be? It's probably going to be like what? SmackDown going to USA, maybe?
Is it like a Tony Khan major announcement?
It's a Cody Rhodes major announcement.
Yeah, but is he taking
I hope it's super disappointing.
I mean, it's NXT. How could it not be? But
no,
even
but
NXT, even though NXT has been good, so
just
I can't
to stick it to Tony Khan with his friggin' major announcement every week.
God,
that'd be great if it comes out. Hi, guys.
Thanks, guys.
But let me tell you, okay.
We're so
adrenaline in my soul.
We're so excited to bring you this announcement.
Hey, Adam Copeland's here. It's amazing. It's fantastic. It's wonderful.
It's a great call, Scott George. The Dusty Cup.
Could be.
Happens every year, doesn't it?
Way to ruin our fun. Yeah, but Cody's never really announced that it's, you know. Like, it's his dad.
In my cup.
Are you trying to eat the microphone, Tony?
No, I was yawning.
Oh,
yawning. Yes, you guys are boring me.
Oh, our apologies.
All this NXT talk is making me sleepy.
Well, they're going against AEW because they're running a show on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Because I'm assuming for baseball, Matt?
Yes.
Yes. Baseball. Yeah.
Baseball, yes.
It's for the Grey Cup.
Oh, the Grey Cup, Kevin. You know about the Grey Cup. We talked about Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, I love the Grey Cup. That's the CFL vehicle.
Oh, yeah. So Dynamite was Wednesday night, right? Whatever. Phoenix and Nick Jackson have a match, whatever. It's fucking...
It was terrible. Whatever.
You sound like Tony.
It was terrible. I watched it. It was terrible.
It was... It's a lot of moves to do a lot of moves, right?
That's and a lot of kickouts for no fucking reason. It was ridiculously bad.
Now, maybe... I know I'm in the minority here.
All right.
But I've been watching Ring of Honor, okay?
That's right. You have.
Griff Garrison's here. Fucking Griff Garrison. Who the fuck is Griff Garrison, right? Well, I can tell you who Griff Garrison is. He's in a tag team with Cole Carter, and they're telling a story on Ring of Honor TV where Griff wants to win by the rule book. Cole Carter and Maria Kanellis Bennett, they do not. They keep getting wins, and Griff Garrison thinks they're winning on the up and up, but they're cheating to win because they're an unlikely tag team.
Oh, Luger and Sting.
Oh, wow, that's actually not terrible of a comparison.
Here is Griff Garrison. Here is Wardlow making his return. Here is Wardlow decimating this young man in less than a minute. Why the fuck? We couldn't find a fucking
Job Guy and wherever the fuck they were to come out. Late Levi Shapiro couldn't get powerbombed fucking six times in under a minute. Now, why the fuck am I going to watch Ring of Honor and give a flying fuck about Griff Garrison?
But it's worse than that, dude. Wardlow comes back to no fanfare, powerbombs this guy four times, walks off. It's not even like he was there to make a statement. It's like he was there against his will. It felt to me that he didn't even want to fucking be there. And then he walks off through the crowd. Was that a thing he did before? I don't think so.
That's new.
So he just walks through the crowd. I'm like, why did they fucking waste my time with this? This established nothing.
He's like, back, Tony.
Oh, he's back. Fucking wonderful. Have him decimate some jobber and show a little life. He had no fucking presentation, no life, walks off through the crowd, and fucking doubly, I didn't even know this whole Griff Garrison thing was going on. Yeah. It was fucking poor judgment on this whole thing.
So I kind of knew that Maria was with Cole Carter and Griff Garrison now because she hasn't been in any of the segments with the Kingdom and Roddy. So like I kind of knew that, but I didn't realize that that was their angle because I don't watch Ring of Honor all that much.
Right.
But you could have literally like what does Wardlow beating Griff Garrison do for anybody? It doesn't do
exactly.
It doesn't do anything for Griff. I'm not gonna lie to you. It doesn't do anything for Wardlow. I know what you're saying about the job guy, but there's that like why not like Christopher Daniels is at the same spot as Griff Garrison. Let him beat Christopher Daniels. Like you know what I'm saying? Like
no, that's you're absolutely Daniels. Right. And maybe I'm so invested now, like I'm on this crusade where I'm gonna make fucking Ring of Honor better. I'm on this crusade, okay? If I have to scream it from the top of the fucking mountains on this podcast, on the fucking Twitter account, fucking Tony Khan's gonna fucking hear my stupid voice.
Damn right.
Maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, but like
I mean, Ring of Honor is a molehill, bro.
Why do I, like, it just, like, it's so frustrating. Like, and then they're like, fucking Stokely Hathaway is the fucking, he's the commissioner of Ring of Honor. Guy's a fucking hand job, first and foremost. Secondly, like, we're going to have a number one contenders match, and we're going to use a bunch of people who don't even fucking wrestle for Ring of Honor. Okay, that's Commander, tough. Fine. Penta's in a tag team, right? Who his partner's an international champion by accident because he hurt Jon Moxley. He's going to lose the title Tuesday back to him. Yes. Lince Dorado, where the fuck did you dust off this dude from? And why is he in a match to be a number one contender to wrestle fucking Eddie Kingston? And then Johnny TV shows up out of nowhere. Why wouldn't you take the John Morrison character, put him on Ring of Honor TV, and build him up to be a viable contender for Eddie Kingston to beat on any one of these fucking shows? No, let's just pick four fucking random dudes that showed up at fucking Dynamite. You, and this idiot with the mask on. Go have a fucking match. Congratulations. What the fuck is going on? It's so fucking frustrating.
They don't build anything, dude. They just drop people in. Jane Cargill.
Who?
Jade Cargill.
No, who's Jane? Noah?
No, that's what Cornette calls her. Jade Cargill shows up. They fucking have vignettes for her. They show her getting out of the car, Triple H greeting her. You may have no idea where the fuck she came from or who she is, but because of what they've done for her, you already know she's a big fucking deal.
Absolutely.
Haven't just fucking Lince Dorado come out of nowhere? It's like, oh, Lince Dorado. Oh, he just fucking lost.
You could have taken any four people that have competed on Ring of Honor TV.
Why right? Do we need to have all these fucking four-way contender matches?
That's a whole different conversation, right? But this is the number one contender for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Commander's been in Ring of Honor, okay? I'll give you that. Penta, not so much. He was a former Ring of Honor tag team champion. He never went to fucking Ring of Honor TV tapings, even when they were the fucking tag team champions. Johnny TV has not been on TV forever. And Lince Dorado, they just dusted off. Why am I supposed, like, and this is the main event of Collision. Again, I find myself saying, why the fuck am I paying $10 a month for Ring of Honor TV?
Wait, this was on Collision?
Oh, yeah, this was all on Rampage and Collision, Tony.
You're wasting your fucking money, dude.
Athena, arguably the best champion in Ring of Honor right now. Never once has she defended her title on Dynamite, Rampage, or Collision. Every defense she's made has been on Ring of Honor TV. Every time she's on Dynamite or Rampage, it's a tag match or the Owen Hart Cup.
Because they don't want to make the other women on the roster look bad. That's what it is.
But if their whole narrative is we're going to showcase the champions of this promotion that you have to pay $10 a month to watch the shitty weekly show, yes, it's a bad. It was the fucking Thursday's
it's
episode.
It's a bad. It's a bad.
12 fucking matches. It was like fucking pulling teeth, man. There's some good stuff. 25% of it is worth watching. The other 75% is shit. You know who got the biggest reaction on Ring of Honor TV? Kojima. He doesn't even work for fucking Ring of Honor. What are great? Fred Rosser showed up. Look, I'm sure Fred's a real nice fucking guy.
Trained by white Kevin Knight.
I don't give a flying fuck about Fred Rosser, especially when he's losing to fucking Scorpio Sky. Don't make it a big deal. Have him come in and get some wins before he loses to Scorpio Sky. I don't want PWG matches for fucking fuck's sake. Just fucking tell me a story, you fuckheads. Stop doing so much fucking cocaine and fucking knock this down to 6 matches and do it the show in an hour and 15 minutes. Look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44 people were on fucking Ring of Honor TV Thursday night. 44! Why are you bringing that many people to TV tapings?
Why do you have that many people on your roster, period?
They're not.
What are you fucking doing? I so want Ring of Honor to be good, and I had such a great discourse the other day on Twitter with so many people who are in the same boat, but it is fucking maddening. It's maddening when I watch this show. It's maddening when they're like, we're going to have a No More Contenders match on Rampage. Why are we not pushing the fucking product that's on the fucking app that people have to pay for?
It almost doesn't even feel like a real thing, Matt. Like, Ring of Honor to me, like, doesn't even feel like it's an actual real entity. It's like,
it's not. It's a fucking Tony Khan fever dream. He probably plays with figures in the back, and he just says, I want Kojima to beat fucking Mark Sterling and Tony Nese. All right, next match. Let me grab these next two figures.
I love that you said that, Matt, because I've been saying that for like a year and a half now, is that Tony Khan's just playing with his toys. He's just playing with his toys.
Like, I'm like, this week will be better than last. And I get like a couple matches in, like the Billy Starks Athena stuff is great. There's a lot of meat on the bone for that story. It's super entertaining. It's fun. The matches are fine, right? They're great wrestling matches. You're not going to get a bad match with Rocky Romero and Christopher Daniels. But none of it fucking means a thing because you're not going to do anything with them.
You had something.
I just,
right, the main event of Ring of Honor TV this week was I see your Brian Cage metal leak from last week, and I raise you Gravity fucking Commander and metal leak against the Spanish announced project and Gringo Loco. I watched fucking 2 hours of Ring of Honor TV for that. I don't give a fuck about this fucking match. I don't care.
Then stop watching it, dude.
I want it to get better, and I need this. We need this for this show. There's good, but there's a lot of bad, and the a lot of bad makes it a lot of entertaining. I'm sweating right now. I'm rage sweating.
Did you shower before the show tonight?
I did. I rushed home from the Firestone because I'd take the wife to get her oil changed. She was a quart low. I checked.
Right here. Yeah. These guys right here. Where's your fucking deodorant, dude?
I think I'm very sweaty.
Yeah, I can see it from here.
That's why you need deodorant for the rage sweats. Ugh.
I'm raging. I'm raging. This makes me rage.
Is there, and I don't keep up with ROH, is there any stories at all going on that are worthwhile? Because like you said, that's one of the things that drives me nuts. Like, I'm okay having a match to have a match, right? I'm okay with that. Not every single match on a show needs to have a story surrounding it, but there does need to be story throughout the show. Is there any stories going on right now that are worthwhile?
So the Ethan Page story, where he is racking up wins, kind of right his way after he got out of the deal with Matt Hardy. So it looks like they're going to push him as a big singles player. The Athena-Billy Starks storyline, where Athena is training Billy Starks to be bad, but Billy Starks doesn't have, like, a bad bone in her body, and she has stopped Athena from a couple post-match attacks that Athena would usually do, is really entertaining. The Shane Taylor promotions kind of getting back together and Shane kind of targeting Keith Lee is a great story. I will give whoever is booking the Sky Blue Willow Nightingale stuff, very similar to Julia Hart. They both got sprayed with Julia Hart's mist, and now they both have the makeup. Willow has the one eye because she got sprayed, and Sky's got both eyes. So there's that. They're kind of continuing that story. But that's really it. Like, there's a lot of fun. Like, TMDK beat the Infantry. I love TMDK, but they're fucking gone. It's World Tag League. They're going back to Japan. Why would you have them beat a team you're trying to establish on your TV show? Why have them on just to have them on? If you're going to have them on, have them beat fucking, I don't know, who was on fucking Dynamite, Rampage, Levi Shapiro and Wise Guy Ruiz. Have
Levi!
Them beat whatever, have them beat two fucking jobbers. Like, why are you cutting off your nose despite your face? It doesn't make any sense. And this is 12 matches. This is way too much.
Yeah, and Matt, I mean, I know your crusade is about Ring of Honor, but it's not so much different than actual AEW. Like, the only people that actually truly, like, have real good stories are probably the ones that are writing them themselves. Like Jericho, like Omega, like MJF, like Bryan Danielson, like Moxley. Like, Tony Khan is a shitty booker. Like, he just is, Matt. Like, I enjoy the talent. This is me whoopty doing for those listening in podcast form.
Well, you got it. The Wrestling Observer Booker of the Year and a 5-pound bag of my shit will get you the same thing walking into a fucking store. Crazy looks, all right? Nobody gives a fuck if a bunch of fucking wrestling fans vote you Booker of the Year. Like, you're just like, you need to do better. Like you can't, like, nobody knows the ratings, right? Because they're always all over the fucking place, right? We still haven't figured out if the fucking DVR, this, that, the other thing.
Right.
We know the ratings come in. We know they lost to NXT last week. But then all the pictures are coming out of all the empty seats at Rampage and Collision and Dynamite. Like, that's a real thing. I've been to, like, a couple shows where it's like, it's definitely not sold out. Like, they got, like, it's, and the reason why is you're not compelling people to go down to the arena.
Yeah.
Edge is going to change all that. Edge can't wait to work with all the young talent. Edge can't wait to give everybody his input. He could text him. You can call him. You could meet him face to face.
So here's
sounds
the thing.
A lot like somebody else who's not with the company anymore.
I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Adam Copeland. Hey, Adam, go fuck yourself.
That is him, though. That is Edge. That is Adam Copeland. That's who he is. And I guarantee. And you don't think Edge is controlling his own stories? You don't think Christian's controlling his own stories? Like, Christian is one of the most over characters in the world right now. Christian. Like, I wasn't a fan of his, but, like, he's the most over. And that was before Edge even got there. So, like, Edge is going to make a difference. It may not be a sizable difference. It might not move the needle, but it's going to make a difference. It's going to be a better situation than CM Punk, I'll tell you that much.
If it doesn't move the needle, then what's the point?
Moving a needle?
No, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, AEW's just kind of been in the same spot for 4 years. WWE's making money hand over fist. They're fucking TV deals, licensing deals, fucking merging and forming TKO. Dude, they're fucking doing amazing. You can't say otherwise.
No, but AEW made a shitload of money in the last month with they made like, what I see, $30 million from the pay-per-view streams from WrestleDream, All Out, and All In.
Has AEW turned a profit yet? That's the big thing.
Well, they're not a publicly traded company, so they don't have to let us know.
I understand, but are they spending money at money? You know what I'm saying? Like, do they just keep throwing money out there?
So I understand what you're saying, but when you have an infinite amount of money, it doesn't matter. Like, it matters in terms of the wrestling conversation, like about like who's the more profitable company if you're literally trying to compare the two, like we did with WCW and WWE. But it literally doesn't matter for AEW, because anything they get back is just more money that he's going to spend anyway. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, the money is not a topic of like competition in this, at this point. It's about what's the better TV show.
Well, like, then you get the unfortunate situation, like Matt says, where nobody gives a fuck about Ring of Honor because there's nothing going on there because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
And making money has to matter at a certain point.
It like, does.
It's still a business. It's no, still a business. You can't continuously put money down the well and go, no, it doesn't matter.
So here's where you're wrong. It's all about, as long as the TV partnership and Time Warner and A&E or whatever Discovery, as long as they are happy with the number, and as long as they continue to feed you money, and as long as they own your TV show, you're good. You could spend the contract on Edge all you want. You could spend the contract on Sting, on CM Punk, on Bryan Danielson. You could spend all the money you want. As long as you have the TV money coming in, that's what matters.
But if that money's not covering
everything, that's the point.
It's got to be covering it. There's no way it's not covering it.
Just from TV? You don't think Tony Khan's dipping in his pocket every week to make payroll?
Oh no, he 100% is. But
well, that's the problem.
Not to the point that it will ever matter.
Until it does.
Right.
It will never matter. The only thing that will matter is if TNT doesn't want to have the show anymore.
Well, then unfortunately, we're going to keep getting situations like Matt has to put up with, where there's no point in watching Ring of Honor because none of it makes sense. There's no need to sell tickets. So there's really no need to improve the product. So then why hire people like Edge just to bring them in? You're just bringing them in at that point.
To satisfy advertisers, to satisfy...
You're just satisfying the people that are already there to begin with. You've got that same 800,000 to a million people that tune in every week. That's what you got. You got the same 250,000, 300,000, 500,000 people that are going to buy the pay-per-views. It's the same people.
But Matt, tell me if you hear me on this. It's the same reason why WCW spent all the money for Hogan and for Macho and for that. It's Edge is a this generation name.
Yeah, but Hogan and Macho and the NWO, they eventually started turning a profit. That's
they turned
difference.
A profit way before the NWO existed. They turned a profit in 95, 94.
I don't know if that's the case.
That's 100% the case.
Business started getting better, I'll give you that. But I don't think they started turning things around until the NWO became a thing.
Nah, they turned a profit.
No, that bash at the beach, Hogan, Ric Flair, I think they made a little money out of that.
Yeah. They turned a profit long before the NWO.
Yeah, Hogan showing up is what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then Dungeon of Doom and all that, it was kind of starting to get old in the tooth already.
I mean, I'm not going to argue that, but I love the Dungeon of Doom.
Look, Edge is not, Edge is a legend in the wrestling industry. I don't think it's fair to compare him to CM Punk, because CM Punk was a very polarizing figure. So him coming back definitely moved the needle. It grabbed people's attention. I know Edge has the fan base, but I don't think it's as loyal as CM Punk followers.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right about that. Because
I think
is a cult
over
kind of guy.
Yeah, I think over time, like, people are going to tune in when they see that Edge is in AEW, but I don't know if it's... I don't know how... They have to figure a way to sustain telling good stories with these guys that people are familiar with, like Edge and Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley, while elevating the young guys. And look, I don't know what the fuck is going on, but Friday was a chaos in the wrestling, the IWC, right? The rumors coming out that Punk is WWE bound, and then FTR files a trademark for CMFTR, and then they lose the fucking tag title Saturday night. Like, people let their imaginations run fucking wild. And I think it all ended up, Cash is hurt. He got hurt in the match with Aussie Open. And if you listen to last week's show, Kate had said in the chat that it was supposed to be Aussie Open against the Young Bucks. that Aussie Open was supposed to beat FTR. So maybe this is just, they're just putting the titles on Big Bill and Ricky Starks as a transitional champion thing, or so we don't get that Young Bucks FTR thing right away.
Do we know why? I'm sorry to cut you off, Matt, but do we know why Kyle Fletcher teamed with Takesta on Dynamite as opposed to it was supposed to be Guevara and Takesta, and now Sammy Kyle Fletcher teamed with
Sammy has had a concussion.
Oh, okay.
From okay. the
so, it, so there's no real story there for Fletcher and Aussie Open. Well,
Mark Davis broke his wrist, so Aussie Open is they can't use Aussie okay. Open. The link in the story is Will Ospreay, United Empire. Kyle Fletcher's right. part of the United right. Empire, so that's why they brought him in. And he had a fucking hell of a match with Brian Danielson on Collision.
Okay.
Hell of a fucking match.
Not hard to believe at all.
the Christian Edge stuff was fucking compelling, man. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. That was fucking great.
Yeah.
Fucking great. Heel Christian is fucking good. Like, it's gonna be good. Like, but they need to like slow down, right? We've seen the Julia Hart stuff with her character was great, right? That was a nice slow burn. You know, take the fucking tag titles off of MJF and Adam Cole. He's got a broken fucking ankle and he's gonna require two surgeries. Kick rocks.
Why are there no interim champions anymore? Why don't they just do an interim Ring of Honor tag titles? Or why don't they just fucking strip them? Why don't they just do that?
That's what I want them to do. Strip them.
Yeah. No strip one's going to care.
Jay White, MJF at Full Gear is the main event.
Why do I care about Jay White all of a sudden?
Here's a question I have for you. So Jay White and his boys fuck up MJF. They leave him laying in the ring. Why are they still talking on the microphone 3 minutes later at the top of the ramp going back and forth? Gives a shit. Walk out. If you want 10 minutes later, MJF's licking his wounds in the back. He's like, you know what? You fucking woke me up. You want a shot? I'm going to fucking take you down. And that's it. What? He's all fucking beat up and like, oh, by the way, blah, 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 blah. No, get the fuck out. You just beat the guy up. And dude, what is this Roddy Strong? Oh, Adam, I need Incredible. You. What the fuck, dude?
You've been missing out. That's one of the best things they've been doing.
No, that was not the best. That was far from the best. That was stupidity. This fucking dummy's on a fucking half a leg wheel thing going around. Oh, can you help me move some furniture? The only funny thing, Matt Taven was playing with some fucking thing in his hand. I forgot what the fuck it was. I thought that was pretty funny. Other than that, what are we doing? What are we doing? Then you wonder why half the Ring of Honor roster doesn't have shit to do because they're wasting time on fucking Adam Cole, who's got a broken ankle going on a wheelie thing, playing with Roderick Strong on TV. Now, Toni Storm is an amazing thing. Let's talk
about that. That character is fucking awesome. Yeah, she stole fucking Crowbar's gimmick.
I know. That's a big disappointment.
Timeless.
Yeah. So unless she asked, it's a bad move.
Imagine he shows up on fucking Rampage and just kicks the shit out of her.
That'd be great.
I was
going
to say team with her. I was putting that on Ring of Honor.
Fuck her up. Yeah, fuck
her. I want Jamie Hayter to come back.
She'll be back. Give her time.
No, she needs to come back now.
She'll be back. Thunder Rosa will be back.
I don't want Thunder Rosa back. I want Jamie Hayter back.
Really? You were such a Thunder Rosa.
No, she can come back. That's fine. I mean, I just want Jamie Hayter back.
Would you?
I want Serena Deeb should come back too, but I want Jamie Hayter back.
So where did Serena Deeb got in trouble for something?
Whatever. Give a shit.
Been on TV. Kimberly or you think like Kimberly?
No, there was some shit where that Serena Deeb was angry about how she was treated. I don't know, some shit or other.
Yeah, she had heat backstage or something. That's why they're not using her.
I know Kimberly got a Dewey, and she's facing trial for that.
Did she kill somebody?
I don't think so. She just got a Dewey, and she like assaulted like the cops or something. Like she like.
Do you know who the fuck I am? Man, that always works. People, make sure you do that next time you get stopped by the police.
Yeah,
I don't have to get out of my car. I don't need to talk to you.
Grumpy. Forgot I know my rights, Tony.
I know my rights, motherfuckers.
I know the law.
I know the law. You can't touch me. You can't ask me that. You're making me uncomfortable, sir. What's your badge number? Oh, yeah.
Phil in the WWE. Are we ready for this?
Yes. Yeah.
Give it to me.
I thought we were singing. Anyway, he said you're ready for this. Yeah, fuck yeah. 100% yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give it.
Yep.
All right.
Excited. Yep.
So he needs the money, apparently, so.
Gives a shit.
Really?
Give him a job.
Yeah, you didn't hear that story? They were doing, there was like a long-running bit on BTE where they were continuously, like pre him ever becoming a member of AEW, where the Jacksons were like always portraying like an out of, a wrestler who always needed money. Like he was always working, just one more match, brother, I got to get that payday. And then after everything happened, CM Punk had his lawyer send like a cease and desist to them because he thought they were making reference to him, but it had nothing to do with him. Which would kind of show Punk's hand, like, I don't know where all his money is. No, it was about Edge.
Damn, I never heard that angle. I never heard that story. That's crazy. But Punk doesn't need money, man.
You don't think so?
I mean, you could use money, but he needs money.
The story on him has always been he was very good with his money, has it not? So,
well, I don't know what happened between now and then. I don't know.
And UFC money.
I could just be throwing darts at a wall.
Huh. Probably dumped a lot of money into WoW for his wife.
Oh, nice.
That sucks too.
If you're Impact, do you just throw the fucking world at him?
Yes. No.
Yes. No.
No.
Do they have the money to do so?
No.
Yes.
No.
100%.
No.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, no, 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 dude, no.
You work 3 days a month? They have the money for them.
No, no, no. There's a reason why they're working 3 days a month.
No, because they film extraordinarily long taping sessions. They film like 6 weeks of TV in like an hour.
Yeah, because they ain't got the money to do it weekly. That's why.
Yep.
No, because weekly. Look, if you're not the WWE or AEW, you can't do live weekly TV. You're just gonna hemorrhage fucking money.
Because you ain't got the money.
It's smart.
WCW did it.
WCW had Turner.
Yeah, they had the money behind them.
Infinite money, dare I say?
Fucking Impact's doing it. They're doing it the right way. Impact low key is probably the best show on wrestling show on TV.
Strongly agree.
No, I think WoW is.
WoW sucks.
When was the last time you watched fucking WoW, Tony?
I don't know. I got like 40 weeks on the DVD.
Well, a couple weeks ago, I was like, what did you watch? Tony's like, I watched the fucking ECW TV title tournament from 1993 this week. What?
Yeah, I did. I'm still watching it. I got to get back to it. The Sandman wrestled fucking the guy that killed himself and killed his wife or some shit.
Rockin' Rebel?
Yes. The Rockin' Rebel and some black lady were teaming up against Peaches and the Sandman in a tag match. I don't remember her name. It was kind of like Dark Journey. It was one of those kind of deals. It wasn't Dark Journey, but it was like one of those ethnic sexy kind of names. Matt's going to look it up. Jesus, you'll see. Fucking... You'll see when you find it.
Now, what am I looking up here? ECW.
Yeah, Sandman and Peaches versus Rockin' Rebel, Rockin' Rebel and...
All right, let's see. Sandman going to go to cagematch.net, people.
Fuck, Peaches, man. That's Sandman's wife?
Yep.
Yes.
Lori Fullington.
Let's see. 90. What do you think? 93 or 93 or 94, T-Donk?
93, I'm pretty sure.
93. Mr. Hugh Sandman, Salvatore Bellomo.
It was around that time.
JT Smith Peaches in the Sandman?
No.
Hunt. Hunter Q. Robbins III.
Oh, Hunter Q. Robbins managed the Executioners.
Yes,
they lost to Johnny Hotbody and Tony Stetson. They lost the titles. Did. Of course they did.
Sandman beat Kodiak Bear. Yep.
Yes, all right. It's in that time frame. It's coming up.
All right. Sandman.
ECPW legend Kodiak Bear.
Tigra,
that's it.
Right. Dark Journey?
Yeah, you know, column A, column B. No, I said it wasn't Dark Journey, but it was kind of along those lines. Tigra.
Was Tigra and Dark Journey close to each other?
You don't think so?
Not at all.
Is it because she's just an African-American woman, Tony?
Yeah, a little bit. Column A, column B.
Tigra.
Well, you know why? Because Tigress was black, wasn't she? This is Tigress's mother.
Oh, now it makes sense.
Oh, see what Tigra. I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And her daughter's Tigress. I Tigress.
Beat me to it.
Oh, God dang it. Before we go to Wrestler's Court.
Oh, are we still doing this?
Yes. We briefly spoke with Colby Carino about it, but the idea that Billy Corgan is going to bring back territorial wrestling. What are you... Right from the jump street, we just are 2 days removed from this announcement. How are you guys feeling about this idea?
Not digging it at the moment. Because it's going to put Billy Corgan in a position where he's going to have to deal with other promoters, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Because remember, NWA was still territorial until 01 took over, remember? They still had people here, there, and everywhere, and then when he took over, it kind of took the name away from everybody and started from scratch again. Now he's going back to that well. I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not optimistic. I'm pessimistic on this one. They proved me wrong. Well, then they do. Good for them.
And I think it's me probably putting on my indie blinders, but if it incorporates more indies into becoming NWA territories, I don't know how that could be bad for wrestling as a whole.
Think of what you just said, though. You're bringing indies into what we're considering is an established player.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but you're also going to find guys across those indies that are going to be studs. They're going to be stars. There are people going to like that will help ultimately. I think both NWA and the indies. And if you're helping the indies, you're helping wrestling. There's nothing bad there.
Fair enough, but you're also not just dealing with indie talent. You're dealing with indie promoters. You're dealing with indie businesses. Not all indies are the same. You know this as well as I do.
Yeah.
So I'm a little pessimistic. Look, if it works out, great on them. Good for them, you know? Bonuses all around.
I mean, how is it any different than what we just talked about with AEW and ROH? It's
AEW owns ROH.
No, but I'm saying it's essentially indie talent working ROH with certain contracted talent, and if indie guys can work NWA, I think that's a win-win for everyone. Even though we might not be entertained by it, it's still a win-win.
Yeah, but you're bringing, when you talk AEW, Ring of Honor, you're bringing in indie talent as job guys for the most part.
I mean, that's what you do. You bring in the top talent, the territories. You bring in the top talent to beat your guys.
Yeah, but the whole purpose of the National Wrestling Alliance was that it's an alliance. It's supposed to be promotions that are kind of on par with each other. That's my concern.
Okay, so you're saying that the NWA name being associated with certain independents would do more harm than good for the NWA.
That's the way I'm seeing it. That's the way that I think it might go down. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, good. I just hope that Billy Corgan's smart with who he lets join the NWA, and it doesn't become, you know, like back after Dennis Corluzzo, you know, after that era when anybody could pay like fucking $500 and slap NWA on their name. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Matt, let's be honest. NWA is better than it was, but like what is it? Like, what is it really? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not any great shakes. So, whatever happens with it, it's like not going to matter, right, Matt?
I think I'm with Handsome Kevin, right? If you can create more opportunities for more people and more people can be seen, but I also see both sides of the coin. Like you, and I think he has to have a business plan going into this, right? This is a fucking big undertaking, right? The territories have been dead since the fucking 1984. Essentially, when Vince fucking put the kibosh on that, right? So we're talking almost 40 years. Like, you're going to try and bring back something that really does the idea of the territory system work in this day and age with the internet and streaming and, you know, you're clearly not going to be able to pull off some of the shenanigans that they did back in the day. Not saying that that's the way the territories have to be run, but he clearly has to have a business plan, right? An idea of what he wants to do. So I'm sure he has a couple promotions bookmarks. I don't think it's going to be the fucking Wild West. It'll just be interesting to see how he does this. Like, look, I've never heard of Exodus Pro Midwest, but they're the first promotion in the NWA territory.
Where are they based from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Global Force. When Global Force would run those like synced independent shows at like ballparks, when Jeff Jarrett would like bring in independent talent to work with, you know, EC3 might have still have been there, Brian Myers and, you know, Cameron Grimes may have been there, but most of it was independent talent based on the location. So like that kind of, it's kind of given me that Global Force vibe.
Gotcha. I'm excited to see what happens. I really am.
Yeah, the press release has someone saying, dare I say we can control the narrative.
Oof. Oh, EC2 is another name that immediately came to my head. 100%.
I am rooting for the good. I'm rooting for it to be successful, but we're just going to have to see. We're going to see what WPC does with this, right?
Yeah. Billy.
Oh, hey, Patrick. We're back to Billy now?
He's my good buddy, Billy. My BFF, Billy.
Oh, Billy, Billy, Billy.
Oh, Billy,
Billy boy.
Oh, Billy boy. Thank you for beating the shit out of me.
Does Billy boy know about the Shining Wizards Network?
Of course he does.
Mm.
Well, I would like to hear about the Shining Wizards Network, Tony.
Would you?
Oh, would I ever. Holy shit.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on The Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, check out the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Rogue, covering the history of wrestling year by year. Also from Gorilla Brain is the Tots Pod with Handsome Kevin and Loverboy L, telling people to get off the lawn and reviewing wrestling figures. Also on Mondays, get your horror fix with 30 Screams or Less featuring Steve and Corey, where they review a horror film in 30 minutes or less. Monday nights live, it's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. Wednesday nights, it's the Mark Order Podcast, covering everything AEW with Ant Money, Kate the Great, Ryan Schlong, and Asian Joe. Get your metal fix on Fridays with Snowy and Aaron on Radioactive Metal, the longest-running metal podcast on the planet. Saturdays, it's High Five Tom and Will Mercier on ROH Revelry, covering the history of Ring of Honor. On Sundays, it's Inconclusive Breakdown with Justin and Vince, covering the week in pop culture, politics, and more. The Shining Wizards Network also features other great shows, including Bread Club, where Kieran and Matt cover everything New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, where brothers Alan and Tom watch some of the greatest and not-so-great matches in wrestling. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where the Impact Playa Phil Rea discusses current wrestling while paying homage to the past. And Wrestling Night in Canada, where Snowy, Matt, and Dustin put a north of the border perspective on the world of wrestling. Enjoy all the great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment, here.
Oh, good. Let's take care
of good.
That.
Oh, good. Good.
Let's take care of that.
Oh, good.
HK, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. How are you? Are you ready for this?
I am pretty excited for this. I've had a lot of fun tonight on the show.
Good, good.
Oh, about to put you. Should have got a lozenger when I went to the bathroom.
Ah, well, you fucked up.
Son of a beast.
Is it feeling better, though? Is it feeling?
Yeah. Yeah. Saturday and Sunday were rough. Saturday was rough because I ended up working out in the rain all day. Yeah. No, we're getting there. The tussin is where it's at, baby.
Rubbing that tussin in, huh?
Give me that tussin, bitches. Before, is he here? Hear ye?
Hear ye?
The judge is not here yet. What are you going to say?
I see, okay.
Thank you. Before the judge arrives, you guys ever hear that crazy rumor that Rick Rude killed himself because he injected Viagra into his balls and the only way to save him was to cut his dick off?
No, never heard that one.
Yes, I just heard that recently.
You have to unmute yourself, Kevin.
Damn it. No, never till this day. Today's years old, man.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the first time I've heard of it.
Ken Patera talks about it in a shoot interview, and so does the Honky Tonk Man. Not the most reliable sources.
What did Marty Jannetty have to say about it?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I don't know if Marty weighed in on it.
No, not yet, at least.
Not yet.
You know what I found out today as well as we were for the judge to get ready? Vader posted a fucking picture of his dick and balls on Twitter. I don't know when, but it was up for about 10 minutes before he actually took it down. I was trying to find one without like a weird like mastodon image covering it, but there are pictures of it online. It was kind of like top down view where it's just his naked torso and legs wearing a pair of Crocs. It's fucking amazing.
Has he got a hog?
I can't tell because there's a little mastodon picture over it.
Oh, it's a big mastodon.
I was about to say, if it's a little mastodon, it can't be all that spectacular.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's about time to move on with the show.
All right.
What you are witnessing is real. Two professional wrestling fans have stepped forward to represent opposing sides in what has been deemed a crime against wrestling. One will attempt to prove that the alleged crime is a blight on the business and should be found guilty. The other will attempt to defend and argue innocence. Both parties have agreed to have this dispute settled by the Honorable Judge Tony in this forum, the Wizard's Court.
Don't even bother rising, because Judge Tony's already relaxed. So hear ye, here come the judge.
All right. Oh.
Sorry, I went to the salon today. My hair's a little messed up. I can't even tell which side it's on.
It's never looked better.
Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. All right, if everyone's ready to proceed, what's on the docket this evening?
All right, Your Honor, today we're here to decide the case of the Montreal Screwjob. Bret Hart versus the WWF. The plaintiff is Bret Hart, and he will be represented by Double T. Claims that the screw job, specifically the act of the Montreal screw job, if you will, caused irreparable damage not only to his career but professional wrestling in general, the defendant, the organization itself, the World Wrestling Federation, represented by HK, and he aims to prove that the WWF is at fault. Wrongdoing, if you will.
Not at fault.
Okay, who's representing the plaintiff?
I'm sorry, WWF is clear of any wrongdoing. I misspoke. Thank you.
Who's representing the plaintiff this evening?
The plaintiff is represented by Double T.
And the defendant is Mr. Rogue?
Correct, sir. Well, the defendant is the WWF, represented by Mr. Rogue.
Understood. Thank you for that clarification.
I know.
Okay, Montreal Screwjob. This is what we're talking about tonight. But so there's two charges against the WWF. We're charging WWF with ruining Bret Hart's career, but also ruining professional wrestling. Any opening remarks from the plaintiff's attorney, Mr. Double T?
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate you taking the time to hear this case, and I hope we all can come to some kind of agreement here tonight. I want to let you... I want to take you on a journey through Bret Hart's career here.
longtime professional wrestler, very loyal soldier to the WWF machine, from a wrestling family. So Bret Hart was clearly aware of the way the wrestling industry runs. If you see Wrestling with Shadows, he was very content with losing the championship title belt, just not to Shawn Michaels. And the actions that follow at Survivor Series in Montreal 1997, and the fallout of that not only cost him his wrestling career, a brother, but it also, you know, damaged the world of professional wrestling to heights we can never fix, Your Honor. Fix was not the word I was looking for, but I don't want to take up everybody's time tonight.
Point taken, Double T. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judge. Hair looks great, by the way.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed. Mr. Rogue, your response.
I think that the one thing I will say is that it's going to be important to remember the roles of employer and employee throughout this. That's all I got for you.
Short and sweet.
You know it.
Okay. Mr. Double T, your chance to present anything to the court, and we will have questions for you as you present, sir. You may proceed.
Oh, please. November 9th, 1997, at the Molson Center, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Bret Hart is scheduled to defend the WWF Championship against Shawn Michaels as the main event of Survivor Series. If you watch the Wrestling with Shadow documentary, Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows, it's a Paul J vehicle. It's on a Vidmark, Trimark, 93-minute VHS tape DVD. You can find it wherever.
I'm sorry, Counselor. We don't need the minutia of the production values of this video. Let's get to the meat of the matter.
I just think it's something you need to. It's very important to the story here, sir. No, you don't get to speak.
Not yet, Mr. Rogue. You'll have your chance.
In the documentary, catches very behind the scene footage that us wrestling fans were not privy to prior to the 1997 Survivor Series. 20-year contract was given to Bret Hart in 1996, taken away because WWF was in financial ruins. Vince McMahon had told Bret, go to WCW, take the money that they're offering. And Bret Hart did that because he has to think about his family and his future. But in doing so, he had to drop the world title to Shawn Michaels. He did not feel that it was necessary to do the job, which is the terminology used in the wrestling industry. And they had agreed that it would be a schmoz finish, a DQ, and Bret Hart would drop the title the next night to whomever they wanted, as long as it was not Shawn Michaels. We get to the situation where the schmoz double DQ maybe was supposed to take place, but we don't know because Vince McMahon and company come down and they ring the bell, award Shawn Michaels the WWF Championship, and whisk him away to the back, where Bret Hart clearly does not like the result because this is not what was agreed upon. They had a handshake agreement, and this sends him on his way to WCW. And being made to look a fool in front of his countrymen, his peers, and his family and loved ones. He ends up not being in the WWF when Owen Hart, his younger brother, is convinced to do a stunt that goes awry and costs Owen his life, unfortunately. Bret feels like if he was in the company at the time, he would have been able to talk Owen out of that situation. And then in WCW, negligence by one William Goldberg cost him a concussion that would later lead to a severe stroke while riding a bicycle. And it's all because Vince McMahon decided him and Shawn Michaels and Triple H were going to take the matters into their own hands and take the title from Bret Hart and not allow him to go out the way they had agreed to.
Does professional wrestling still exist today?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this World Wrestling Federation, they're still in existence?
It's now World Wrestling Entertainment. But yes.
But by and large, the company still exists.
Yes, sir.
And you did say professional wrestling still exists, right? So
yes, sir.
I'm having a hard time understanding how this caused irreparable damage to professional wrestling.
I was a black eye on the wrestling industry. It was what the wrestling insiders call kayfabe.
Oh, no, I understand what kayfabe is, Counselor. What I don't understand is if the wrestling business is continuing to this day and if it's successful, I don't understand where this claim of irreparable damage gets its start, at least when it comes to the business of professional wrestling.
I'm sorry. The cat was bothering me. Can you repeat that, sir?
Sure. You're claiming irreparable damage to the professional wrestling business in general. And I'm asking you, with everything that's going on in wrestling now, we have several promotions that are doing quite well from all accounts, how this has ruined the business of professional wrestling.
Well, if you look back at the time when this situation was taking place, they were starting to become the wrestling industry, particularly the WWF was starting to sexualize women a little more, be a little risque. And Vince McMahon had said when he took back the contract, the 20-year contract he had given to Bret Hart, that his character was waning and he didn't feel like it would fit in with the Attitude Era. And I feel like if there was Bret feels strongly, if he was a locker room leader in the WWF during this time frame, things would not have gotten as out of hand as they did as we got into the Attitude Era. People giving birth to hands, the hoe train, a man getting his penis cut off. Yes, that was something that was on a wrestling show. A man choppy choppy his pee-pee, sir.
This all took place around the time of what's been known as the Attitude Era, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And at the same time on other programming, there was the New World Order formation, correct?
Yes, sir.
So I don't understand how you can make the argument that this was a irreparable damage to the wrestling business when after this entire incident happened, the wrestling business went on to heights it had never seen before.
Well, I think what the NWO accomplished was a sense of realism, and what the WWF did was just expose horny teenage kids to bosoms and lewd gestures.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I think you should wait to hear both cases and everyone's arguments before you determine whether or not irreparable harm has been done.
I understand, Bailiff, but I am the judge, and I'm going somewhere with my questioning. I appreciate you jumping in, but it's okay.
Just trying to participate, that's all.
No, I understand. Don't worry about it. We'll get you involved. It's okay. All right, so you're talking about professional wrestling in general, but you're also talking about Bret Hart's career. After he left WWF at this point, was he able to find gainful employment?
He did sign a contract with the World Championship Wrestling.
And I would assume that he made money on this contract, that he wasn't working for free, correct?
Correct. It was $9 million over 3 years, I believe.
So he signed a contract to make, from what you've told me, $3 million a year. How is that irreparable damage to his wrestling career?
Well, he went from being one of the biggest wrestling stars in the world in the WWE to really just walking into a complete disaster that was WCW. And there was a lot of politicking backstage that prevented him from being used to his fullest potential. And if he was never put in that position in the first place, if Vince McMahon had never taken away the 20-year contract, then Bret Hart would have never had to reach out and go other avenues to provide a split. I can't with this. I have to remove him, Your Honor. Thank you. There we go. That's better.
I thought it was going to be me.
No, he's mocking me. He's just mocking me, Your Honor. Don't, please. He's mocking me. It's not professional.
It's not. I'm the bailiff, right? I can do this, right? I can get him out of here?
Yeah, you can. No, you can warn him. He can't leave, though. He has the right to be here as long as... Listen, I'll find you in contempt, Mr. Rogue.
Yeah, there you go.
I've said nothing, Your Honor.
I understand, but your pantomimes are not beyond the reach of this court. All right, Mr. Double T, thank you so much. Mr. Rogue, you've heard what plaintiff's counsel had to say. My question to you, bosoms on television and inappropriate comments, things like riding the hoe train, giving birth to hands, chopping off pee-pees, and this all happens while Bret Hart is not there. Is this not irreparable damage to the wrestling business?
Well, Your Honor, I think that's a great question. But as far as I know, that's not what's currently on trial. Might be in bad taste. And if I may respond to a couple of the claims of one Mr. Bowman, if you don't mind, Your Honor.
Well, I'd like to know an answer to my question, though. Like, he's claiming irreparable damage, and, you know, I don't really remember prior to this wrestlers giving birth to hands, wrestlers riding on hoe trains or making references to marijuana use. This was a lot of things that weren't happening in wrestling, you know, prior to Bret Hart's departure.
Yeah, yes, you're accurate, Your Honor. At the same time, we're looking at the ages of our fans. Our fans have now grown up and grown out of training, eating vitamins. Our fans have grown up and grown out of things like a repo man or a clown in the ring. And we had to adjust our programming to meet the demand of our viewers.
Was this adjustment, was firing of Bret Hart and the Montreal Screwjob just a way to get rid of what was keeping the World Wrestling Federation from going to that strategy?
I don't believe so at all.
So you think even if Bret Hart was still around, the WWF would have still taken this approach?
Absolutely.
Bret Hart had he had signed a 20-year contract before the Montreal Screwjob took place, correct?
That's correct.
And Bret Hart was concerned that he would have a job with WWF for a long time to come, even if it was in some sort of office capacity, correct?
That is correct.
And he relied on what Vince McMahon told him and guaranteed him by that contract to have this gainful employment for at least the next 20 years into the future, correct?
That is correct.
So then how is reneging on this contract and on top of that, causing the Montreal Screwjob where he's to lose the title, not irreparable damage to Bret Hart's career?
So, Your Honor, the cancellation of the contract was not something we ever wanted to do, given the financial state of the company. We were looking to modify the deal. We wanted to add more money on the back end of the deal. We did not want to cancel the deal. However, Mr. Hart did not believe that that was an acceptable approach. We tried everything that we could to retain him amongst those 20 years. Now, given the financial situation that we were facing as a company, if we go under, he's not seeing any of that money. We were trying to do the best thing, not only for him, but for the rest of the performers in the locker room, for the people in the office, for the truck drivers, for the sound crew, everybody. We were looking to modify that contract and add some money to the back end of it. A little less up front, a little more in the back. And he did not agree to that. He didn't see it that way.
Are you familiar with the injury that Bret suffered at the hands of Bill Goldberg?
Yes, sir, I am.
So do you take the position that WWF was not responsible for this injury, and even if indirectly?
Not responsible whatsoever.
Even though WWF reneged on this 20-year contract?
So once he goes to WCW, it's out of our hands, Your Honor. That is in their field. That is in their court. And again, he didn't need to be there.
Bill, if any questions for Mr. Rogue?
Do you think that the plaintiff's representation argument about the death of Owen Hart has any play in this litigation?
None at all. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think that it's an underhanded tactic to garner sympathy.
Okay, but with that being said, do you believe that the decision to sign with WCW and ending his career far too early, WWE is not at least somewhat responsible for causing irreparable harm to his career?
None whatsoever.
Mr. Double T.
Oh.
Do you feel that there would have been any way that Bret Hart would have known about any of the situation concerning his brother Owen and the stunt that tragically took his life?
I know that Bret was very close with Owen, and I think if he was still working with the WWF, if he was not forced out of his contract, I think he would have been there, and he probably would have been a voice of reason.
No, understood, but Bret, you're trying to convince the court that Bret had no communications with his brother Owen at all at this point in time? Because I would think if it was something that if Owen was uncomfortable, he would have reached out to at least someone. And if you say they have a close relationship, he would have reached out to Brett.
Well, they're from a wrestling family, so wrestling families are typically traveling 5 to 6 days a week. So it's a little harder to pick up the phone and make a phone call, unfortunately. As silly as that is, everybody gets busy in life. It's easier when you share a locker room with your brother to be there, to be the voice of reason. When there's no one there to lend that ear to you, you know, and you know your brother is halfway across the country, probably working, you know, Podunk, South Dakota. He gets, you know, there's no cell phones. You can't just pick up and call in 1997.
Mr. Bailiff, any questions for Mr. Double T?
No, sir. I think that was actually a very eloquently stated point right there.
It's about time I had one.
Well, Mr. Double T, I'll ask you a question. Since this case is seeking damages here, what do you feel would be fair retribution should the court decide in the favor of Bret Hart? On both counts.
I would like, Mr. Hart would like the truth. excuse me. Oh. My apologies, Judge. I've been battling a cold. Mr. Hart would like the WWF to finally, WWF and Vince McMahon admit that they were wrong for not trusting Bret Hart in this situation, and they were wrong for putting him in that situation where they screwed him in front of all his family, friends, peers. I want them to admit to the wrongdoing. I'm not necessarily looking for monetary value. I'm looking for them to admit that they were in the wrong, specifically Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Your Honor.
Mr. Rogue, any final words in response to that?
Well, I think that this is a situation where we did absolutely everything we could. I think we exercised every avenue, every option we could, and ultimately our hand was forced by Mr. Hart to what's been now referred to as the Montreal screw job. We tried absolutely everything we could, and ultimately, as his employer, asking him to do something, if we're paying him to do that, we expect him to do that. And in this situation, we asked him to lose clean many times, and he refused every which way we came up with. None of that satisfied him. So ultimately, our hand was forced.
Thank you for that. Mr. Double T, I have one more question for you. Did Vince McMahon give Bret any advice when he reneged on the 20-year contract?
He encouraged Mr. Hart to go to WCW.
And Mr. Hart eventually took said advice and went to WCW.
He was reluctant to go, and he was very willing to renegotiate the 20-year contract, but Vince McMahon was not having any of that.
Okay. I'll give you each 30 seconds for a quick closing. We'll start with you, Mr. Rogue.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate situation that both sides couldn't come to an agreement. And I think we did absolutely everything that we possibly could. We didn't want him going anywhere. But unfortunately, due to the stubbornness of Mr. Hart, we had to do what we had to do, which was in the best interest of the entire company, not just one selfish individual.
Thank you. Mr. Double T, your closing remarks.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your defendant is going to paint a picture of an ornery man who was a loose cannon and just did whatever he wanted, and that is not the case. This is a 13-year veteran from a wrestling family. He did everything by the book for those 13 years. He was in the World Wrestling Federation, never had any problems with Vince McMahon or any of his other wrestlers. He was put in a very, very difficult position where he had the cookie was put in front of him. He got to take a bite, and then they took the cookie away from him. And then they told him, go get the cookie somewhere else. And then they decided that instead of being trustworthy and taking a man who spent 13 years with the company at his word, that they would screw him over in front of his friends, family, and loved ones in the country. And that does irreversible. You can't fix the damage that that does on him, and it destroys his whole life from this point going forward, Your Honor.
A little more than 30 seconds, but thank you, counsel.
I appreciate the extra time because I'm a stumbling, bumbling idiot. I appreciate
okay.
that.
Well, I'm going to go enjoy some cookies while I render my before I render my decision, so you three can talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Cool.
Did you?
Man, I didn't get to so many points that I wanted to get to. You fucking talking about Wrestling with Shadows, you motherfucker. What was that film for? It was for him. It was for him. A locker room leader that never shows up on time. I'll get there about 45 minutes before TV. It'll be fine. A locker room leader. Bite my nuts.
Hey, you had your chance to speak your mind, sir.
I got fucking threatened with contempt of court.
Well, because you're over there fucking making faces at me.
I didn't say a goddamn word.
There's no shot he gives us to me.
I didn't say a goddamn word. I don't know. That doesn't seem right. Owen Hart, you're a bitch for that.
What?
Has nothing to do with the Montreal screw job.
If Vince, if Brett stays, that never happens.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
No, you cannot predict that.
But Vince told the deal.
You know, you cannot prove that. There's no way.
I fucking
suck. And that's
suck.
Owen's decision. That's fucking Owen's decision.
Brett would have talked him right out of it, and you know it.
I don't know that.
You know it. I suck at this, by the way. I'm the fucking worst lawyer ever.
I didn't think you did bad.
No, I don't think you did bad either, Matt. You were hitting. You'll see my reactions on if you watch this back. I was like, all right, there's something there.
Fucking pulling sympathy cards.
No, but I didn't agree with the Owen Hart thing at all. But he was making other salient points.
I just need one.
Grasping.
I just need one.
Yeah.
I just
I'm
need
paying
one.
You to do a job. Do the fucking job.
Nah, I think that the whole relationship ending irreparably damaged Bret Hart's career, but you can make the argument that it absolutely surged the wrestling business.
Oh, 100%.
So you might, maybe the judge will come back with a what do they call that, split decision, a hung jury or whatever it is, like
the judge's hair is on point, by the way.
Oh yeah, great hair. Like great hair. It's a great head of hair on that judge.
Top five
easily. But maybe you can find in favor on one charge and not the other charge or something, whatever.
Oh, we're fucking clear of any wrongdoing.
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Come on. Like, if Bret Hart did show up in WCW the next night with the belt a la Medusa and threw it in the garbage can, would that irreparably harm the WWE? No. It wouldn't change a goddamn thing about the wrestling business. It would have made it better. It would not have hurt WWE. WWE would have gone on because Stone Cold Steve Austin was a thing. The Rock was a thing. Triple H was a thing. The Undertaker was a thing. Mick Foley was a thing. DX was a thing. It would have been fine. It would have been one butthurt night, and everyone would have gotten over it. So, like, it didn't damage the wrestling business at all.
I think hindsight's 20/20, my friend.
I mean, that's what you. When we, what are we judging? Like, what are we
that's
doing?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, I think that both of them should have gotten together and figured it out, because it seems like each side wanted to figure it out, but ultimately I really feel like Bret Hart got stuck in a stubborn cycle and just wouldn't figure it out.
And there's definitely something to that for sure. Like,
yeah.
Like if just like being as big of a Bret Hart fan as me and Matt are, like, we know.
Me too, man.
You as well. Like, you know what, like, even if you don't know him, you know what Bret was like.
Right.
Like, you know what he was like. So
he was the man.
He was the man. You're right. But you also know what he was like.
Yeah,
so
he was just slinging dick. That's why he was late to every fucking show. Don't worry about
it. Oh, get to the fucking show on time.
He doesn't need to be.
Maybe you could have a couple more cookies.
Hogan
doesn't
get
the
shows on
time.
He's the
best there is, best there was, and best there ever will be.
Hogan never got the shows on time.
Yeah, brother.
That's not what we're talking about here. All right? that's not on trial.
It's relevant to the star power and the clout that you get from being the top guy.
All right, all don't rise. Stay where you are. The judge is coming back.
What's going on here? Where are you?
He's coming back.
Oh, there he is.
Hi, Judge. Hello, everyone.
All don't rise. Stay seated for the judge.
Did you have a cookie?
I did. It was delicious. It was a butter cookie.
Yes.
I got crumbs all over my chest.
Think about the kids.
I think about the kids a lot. Wait a minute. No, I don't. Stop it.
Sexy teenage boys?
No.
No.
Yeah, then you wonder why we got so many views and listens last week.
Listens were up last week, dude.
Of course they were. They were looking for teenage boys.
They like when we talk wrestling.
Yeah.
Maybe they're looking for teenage boys too. Sexy teenage boys.
Stop it.
So we've got two. Can I go on? Yes. Really?
Sorry, Your Honor.
The judge is about to make his decision here.
So we've got two issues in front of the court today. Both of them are arguing irreparable damage. We're going to tackle the second claim first, that this was irreparable damage to the business of professional wrestling. And I didn't hear a convincing argument at all from plaintiff's counsel that this entire situation caused irreparable damage to the wrestling business in general. I think it was just another moment in time, albeit a quite infamous one, where it's still discussed to this day, as is quite apparent by it being brought in front of this court. However, there is not a scintilla of evidence that says that any damage was caused to the wrestling business, let alone irreparable damage. So for the second claim, I find in favor of the defendants. Now, getting back to the first claim, I understand suffering a concussion at the hands of Bill Goldberg is a debilitating, nay, career-ending injury to one Bret Hart. I also understand that the death of Owen Hart was a tragedy, not only in professional wrestling, but into the world in general, because by all counts, Owen Hart was a tremendous human being. And he's still honored to this day by our brethren in All Elite Wrestling. However, neither one of these situations can be considered to be proximately caused by anything stemming from the Montreal Screwjob. Owen Hart, unfortunately, was in that situation. I don't think that if Bret was around, necessarily things would have changed. Maybe we look at it in terms of a Back to the Future paradox, where if Bret Hart is there, this is never even approached to begin with. But that is way too separated from the Montreal Screwjob to have any sort of valid connection to either instance. Which leads us to what counsel was requesting, what the plaintiff was requesting from Bret Hart, should we have decided in his favor. Bret Hart was able to continue to make money in the wrestling business. And while this court is not unsympathetic to the fact that he was hoping to have the rest of his career continue with World Wrestling Federation, this is a business. Business things do happen. Unfortunately, jobs are not guaranteed. Many wrestlers have been hired, fired, rehired, refired by many different companies spanning the history of professional wrestling. And while it was noble for Bret Hart to want to spend his career there, those cards just were not, that deal was not in the cards for Bret Hart. And unfortunately, this court has the unfortunate decision to side with the defendant on that card, on that side of the case as well. I do caution both men. I do think that the two of you argued very well in this matter. And if it were up to me, if it were in my power, I just want to have Bret and Vince to sit down and just talk. Just let them talk. Let them hug it out. Let him figure out, maybe cry a little bit on each other's shoulders and not have him kick Bret in the balls like he did so many years ago going into WrestleMania. Because what are we doing? Let's just get along. Both decisions in favor of the defendant. Thank you both for your arguments and have a good evening.
This court is adjourned.
thank you, Judge.
Take your own heart argument and shove it up your peen.
I told you I wasn't gonna win.
I thought he was gonna split it up. Like, yeah.
I felt like he might.
Because it definitely, like, the killing the wrestling business, absolutely not. But killing Bret Hart's career, absolutely.
I don't know why my hair's always messed up after the judge leaves.
Oh, it looks fantastic. Looks fantastic. Oh, man, Tony, was there any thought of you having a split decision here, or a hung jury, if you will?
Not as much as it seemed that you guys thought about it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's tough, but you can't. There's no, like, professional wrestling, yeah, it happened. Irreparable damage, no. The other stuff's a little different because there were, like, real world, like, things that stemmed from that happening. But to be honest with you, like, they're so far removed from the event happening. You know, like, if Bret Hart doesn't get kicked, you know, like, not only that. So what was the harm if he doesn't get kicked? But on top of that, like, just because Bret went to WCW, he got kicked by Goldberg. You know what I'm saying? Like,
can I ask you this? Is there the argument if Matt leaned more on the trust issue of the screw job itself, leaning into the, you know, we had an agreement of this is how it was going to, this is how it was going to play out. And now it's not, losing trust within all of the WWE and other promotions, you know, across the way, because WWE is, you know, a worldwide leader, leaning into that argument, would that have been a way to go?
It might have been more, but it's go ahead, Kev. I'm sorry.
The wrestling business is such a unique industry. Mm-hmm. It's such, like, an environment in amongst itself. Maybe all of sports kind of are, where, like, when you're top stars, like, you have to have a certain level of trust there, but it goes both ways, I think. So if Bret Hart trusted WWE to have that finish, mm-hmm. WWE did not trust Bret Hart to do the right thing.
Right.
And they did what they thought was best for their end without even thinking about the person. And in a normal industry, yeah, okay, you can get away with it. Mm-hmm. But wrestling is so bizarre and so, like, niche and unique that you just trust. Because Matt, like I said, like, and Tony, when you were gone, or when the judge was gone, I was like, if Bret Hart did show up in WCW with the belt and he threw it in the trash can a la Medusa, WWE would survive.
Of course they would have.
It would be Stone Cold, they'd play it up. Stone Cold would come out and do something. Vince McMahon would come out and do something. Undertaker, Foley. But also, to be fair, the effect that it had on the other people in that roster, like Taker, like Foley, like Rick Rude, who jumped to WCW. It's hard when you don't trust your top guy to do the right thing. So.
But it wasn't irreparable harm. Like, Bret Hart got a $9 million 3-year contract out of the thing.
No, going to WCW 100% killed his career.
It killed his career, but
he was fighting for the TV championship, Tony.
It doesn't matter. He was able to ply his trade. He was able to find comparable work at an insane amount of money. Like, that's the thing.
It's the wrestling business, Tony. It's not just about making dollars and cents. It's about creative. It's about what you see, what the people see. You know, that's what it's really about.
Yeah, but it's irreparable harm is a tough standard. That's like WWF on his way out the door that night from Montreal kicked him down the stairs and he wound up a fucking paraplegic. You know what I'm saying? Whoa. Like, now he can't fucking make money in the business anymore.
Right.
That's irreparable harm. Telling him to, hey, I think you should go take the deal for $9 million. And he says, you know what? I guess I'm taking the deal for $9 million. I mean, he already took the deal. So what was the harm? The way he left the company. It's tough. It's a tough situation. I see both sides, but it's hard to make that argument that he was irreparably harmed, you know?
Matt, the one part about this that still seems like impossible to me, even though it was like right before the uptick in the business because of the Attitude Era, the fact that WWE couldn't afford to pay Bret Hart to keep him, just to me, just never smelt right. Like, they could have found a way to make it work. Like, you talk about in sports and like salary cap structuring and restructuring and all that stuff to make it work. WWE could have made it work.
No, they tried. He refused it.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You're wrong, Kevin.
No.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight because old man Tony's fucking tired and sweaty.
Yeah. Thanks to Colby Carino for joining us, the NWA Junior World Champion. Remember, October 28th, Samhain on Fight TV, NWA Power, every Tuesday at 6:05. Tomorrow, if you're listening, or today, whenever you listen, if you're listening to this on October 10th, it's a fucking jam-packed day of professional wrestling. Enjoy it. Enjoy fucking all of it. Keep your eyes on MLW. They're doing great things. They got a big show coming up this weekend. I've been really enjoying what MLW is doing. NWA is on fire. Clearly, we know how I feel about Ring of Honor. AEW, they can do some good things. NXT is interesting. WWE is rocking and a rolling. And so are we. Next week, Lance Anoa'i. Anoa'i joins us, fresh off of his trip in Pro Wrestling NOAH. The week after that, Cold Stone Tim Boston will be on the podcast. So we got two guest lines up the next 2 weeks. If you enjoy the show, if you you like what we do, tell your friends, leave a review, rate the show, share it with people. It's all free. It all takes you seconds to do, and it means the world to us. That's all I got.
All right.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And Handsome Kevin, just so you know, a little production note. You don't have to do your GND right now. You could do it when the guy stops talking after I press.
I gotcha.
After I press this button. Goodbye, everyone.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. Executive producer is Manny Kradzo. The assistant executive producer is Kathy Hummer. Our producers are Brendan Heaney, Danny Rusinello, Kate Hensler, Matt Garifo, Mike Peterson, Ryan Schlong, Thomas Copps, David Henry Bauer III, Michael Hammond, and William Mercier Jr. Special thanks to all our assistant producers as well. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Good night, Diana!
Hey, you're still here. Great. Appreciate all the support, as always, listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And for you, if you've been on the fence about joining the Patreon, we have something great for you. We threw together a little excerpt from our 29th bonus episode. So if you join the Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, for $3 a month, you get access to this bonus episode and the numerous amount of content that came before this. There's a lot more than 30 episodes on there, I promise you. So enjoy this little excerpt from bonus episode 29. It's the PWI 500 Top 10 2023 versus 2003 with Tony, Handsome Kevin, KJG, and Brundon. Remember, if you enjoy this, there's more of this available at patreon.com/wizardspodcast for $3 a month. Enjoy, and thanks for supporting the Shining Wizards.
Number two.
All right, we got Roman Reigns going against Triple H.
What's Trips doing in 2002, 2003?
Squashing people.
Fuck yeah. Right. Squashing your people.
And on a more consistent basis than Roman Reigns has been.
And wrestling a hell of a lot more, by the way.
That's exactly what I meant by what I said.
I thought so. I thought he was just reiterating the point.
Yeah, kind of.
Nah, well.
I mean, remind me what – I mean, it's got to
– It all started with Eric Bischoff handing him the world championship in September of 2002.
That's an honor.
To be fair,
he does fight Ric Flair for it that night. And wins.
Ric Flair had a fucking chance.
It's a hell of a match.
You got two hands. You always got a chance.
That right there, James Ellsworth.
Is that who said that? Zach Gowen. Why did I think that was Zach Gowen?
It was James Ellsworth.
That was Ellsworth. Gowen was, if I had 2 feet, I'd kick your ass.
Jesus.
I thought that was Zach Gowen.
Triple H actually merged the Intercontinental title into the World Championship.
By beating Jethro Neal
European Hardy. Title, I think, as well. Or
no, he beat Kane for that. He beat Kane.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe the hardcore Jeff Hardy merged the Intercontinental and the Hardcore with RVD, and then Triple H merged the Intercontinental and the World.
Like basically every title got merged into the World.
There were just
at that
two
point.
Singles belts on each show.
We also got the Katie Vick shit going on here. Ooh, that's we that's also got Shawn Michaels coming back as the fucking Dutch Master at the Elimination Chamber, beating him for the belt
Doo-doo
for
pants
a couple of weeks. Let me see. Evolution is formed during this time period.
Ooh. Ooh,
successful title defense against Booker T. Yeah, you got to go Triple H here, bro. Going Triple H.
Tony,
it's close, but I'm going
to. Can you do
Triple
me a favor?
H.
Just because it's so close, can you pull up Roman Reigns in this time period so we could see exactly what he... We all know how great he is, but can... Because this is just so close that I want to see exactly what he's done.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's like, man, like at that time, Triple H was damn near untouchable. Yeah. And he was hitting it out of the park every time he went out there on the mic, in the ring, no matter what. And like, not to say Roman Reigns isn't doing that, but to me, I think the edge is the amount that Triple H was doing it at that time.
I'm before I hear this, I'm leaning, unless this changes my mind, I'm leaning towards Triple H.
No.
Here we go. June 17th episode of SmackDown. This is 2022. Defends the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. He's already got both belts against Riddle. Attacked by Brock Lesnar. Beats him in a last man standing at SummerSlam. Retains against Drew McIntyre, Clash at the Castle, easy for me to say. Beats Logan Paul at Crown Jewel. The Bloodline wins War Games at Survivor Series. Universal Championship. Let me see. Defeats Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble. Defeats Cody Rhodes at Mania. Elimination Chamber beats Sami Zayn, who didn't finish his story. What happened after Mania? Night of Champions. Reigns at Sokoa defeats, unsuccessfully challenged Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Was he pinned during that match?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so there you go. And June 24th, he surpasses Pedro Morales. That was it. Money in the Bank July 1st, which does not count for this. So there you go. Some high-profile wins. But, you know, it's a hell of a year, but I got to go Triple H, man.
Trips is out there on Raw doing it. Like, he's getting things done every week and the pay-per-views. For me, I'm going to go Triple H.
And he's putting money on Randy Orton and Batista at this point, too. Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive run for Roman on pay-per-views, though.
I hated Triple H at this point, too, and I would have to go with him as well.
I was leaning towards Triple H, but that's a pretty damn good year for Roman. So even though I'm outvoted, I'm gonna go with Roman.
All right, fair enough. That was a tough one. That was probably the toughest
that was
one
really
had.
Good one.